listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and also being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are viewer-supported stations, guys, so I always like to start the show with a little bit of plug for the stations. If you can afford a few dollars here and there, they'd really appreciate any help that you can render them. I know it's tough times for money, but even a couple bucks would sure help out. Everybody threw a couple bucks at them, it would make a big difference. So thanks for joining me today, and it's always a pleasure to have my guest in the first hour. Here is Mark Friesen, who is known online as the Grizzly Patriot. I've had Mark on, I don't know how many times, three or four times here in the last couple of years. Always good to have him back in for a conversation. Welcome to the show, Mark, and how are you doing today, my friend?
Thanks, Barry. Thanks for having me on again. Yeah, you know, we're plugging away. The fight rages on. You know, we're at a enormously critical time here, where we desperately need people to wake up. And it's frustrating, and there's a lot of anxiety, and I know that's being felt across the country and really around the world as we're seeing. So it's tough times.
It is, Mark, and like we were saying before we went on the air here today, you know, we've been trying to wake people up. We're trying to put information in front of people's faces for years now, and it seems like a good percentage of the population just doesn't want to hear it, and it's very, very frustrating. Yesterday I walked into Wholesale Foods and, you know, I was the only guy in there with no mask on, and a few people actually confronted me. That's the first time I've actually been confronted by people why I'm not wearing a mask. And I simply turned around and said to them that I have a medical exemption, for one, and number two, what I'm wearing on my face right now is just as effective as stopping this virus as what you're wearing on your face. And that's how I usually end my conversation. If they want to carry on a conversation, if they want to get ugly past that point, I turn and walk away. But I'm actually seeing people get ugly now, and I've never seen that before, Mark. Yeah. I haven't. This week I had an experience. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I have a similar experience. I make a point when I go into the grocery store or wherever, I don't have a mask on, and I'm whistling and I'm smiling at people, and they're all angry. They're mm-hmm. all depressed. They're all mm-hmm. looking at me, you know, with contempt, and I carry on. But it's, at the end of the day, it's all about fear, and the media and the politicians have done a great job. Masterful job, really, of instilling this fear into the masses. And I don't know what it's going to take. I know there's a lot of people wearing masks just to go along to get along. But you know, that's a sign of what they're willing to accept, I guess. And the further along we move in this, and you know, what we see, we'll see the response. But it's not encouraging.
It's the biggest psyops ever played on the human race, Mark. It is a massive conditioning exercise being played on the people. And people, like you said, they go along to get along. But They don't realize that they're signing their own death warrants right now, that what's coming. You're right, we're at a pinnacle right now. And the fact that more people aren't waking up to what's going on in our government, it is so in your face what they're doing, man. It's just right off the scales. Doesn't matter where you look at right now in government, it is totally, totally corrupt and totally pushing us towards a globalist agenda. And yet people just seem to want to go along. Well, the good thing is, Mark, is they brought back hockey. Hey, yeah, yeah. You know, they had to do that because people are depressed, so they got to give them something to go, yeah, yeah. They give them a team to cheer for a night, make me feel good about myself, and then tomorrow morning I'll wake up and deal with the rest of the crap that I have to normally deal with. What a joke, man. I can't give those guys 2 minutes of my time, Mark. I really can't. You got to keep them entertained, though. No. If you don't want them to look, just keep them entertained, give them something to cheer about, and it sure has that effect on society. Now all I hear in the coffee shop is, hey, who won the hockey game last night? I'm going, who cares? Who cares, man? Yeah, it's sad, but
well,
it's effective.
The frustrating thing is, you know, my people like myself and yourself, we've been doing this for years, and trying to wake people up before we got to this point, before we got to this precipice, you know, to avoid what we're seeing, and you know, that's what's frustrating is nobody listened then, and you know, there's a few more people paying attention now. But that's only because they've been affected directly. And, you know, the more you can keep the masses hypnotized with hockey and football and whatever else they watch on their screen, you know, the better for the globalists, the better for this agenda. But it's going to be a rude awakening for a whole lot of people, and there's going to be a whole lot of people that are very overwhelmed with what's going to happen.
They are the masters of distractions, aren't they, Mark? And they're very effective at it. 100%. I mean, if we look at history, we'll see the same thing being played out in history where, you know, dictators entertain the masses to keep them from not looking at what's really going on behind the curtains. And we'd see the exact same thing going on in Canada right now, man. That what Trudeau is doing to this country, buddy, is just beyond anything. Well, not really. I knew he was going to do this. I just didn't think he'd bring it down as hard and as fast as he is right now. Go ahead.
Well, when we saw, you know, we look to put some historical context on this, the shocking thing and the overwhelming thing about this is it's not just, you know, it's not just Germany, it's not just Russia, it's not just, you know, one country that's imposing this on their people. This is global, and we're seeing, you know, of course, a global response by the people. You look at Denmark, you look at Holland, you look at the, you know, Italy. They're all blowing up, and these are countries that are sort of perceived as somewhat tolerant and somewhat, you know, peaceful and not and doesn't get involved in this type of thing. But here we are; those countries are doing it and standing up to this well before we are in Canada en masse. You know, we're very much asleep here in North America, and it's damn time they wake up, because this thing is global; it's a global thing. Global agenda, and that's the difference in the historical context. Is you don't, you know, people can't see the enemy like a Germany in the 30s or a Russia, and you know,
exactly. Canadians are definitely the most apathetic people in the world, man.
Yeah, we really are as a nation. We absolutely are, because we've had it so good for so long, and people are spoiled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right. Well, we've never had a war in Canada, have we? We've never really had any strife. In Europe, they had strife. They're, you know, France was occupied by the Germans. The Second World War, millions of people died over there, and some of them still have vivid memories through their relatives about what happened in the Second World War. And they've experienced it, but we haven't here in Canada. We've just been, you know, comfortable little country that's been sitting over on the other side of the ocean, where people go that, you know, that kind of stuff will never happen in Canada, because this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. It just can't happen in Canada. But, you know, all of a sudden, Mark, you're absolutely correct that shock and awe will all of a sudden happen, and people will be thrown into a state of chaos. And we know out of chaos always comes control, correct? I mean, they're going to use it again and again 100%. And again, buddy. Well, because it works, Mark.
100%.
The same agenda 100%. Is working as it did in Germany in 1935 and 37. People need to study history. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's just it. And if you talk to immigrants, you know, especially from the Eastern Bloc or you know, from Russia or anywhere where they're under dictatorship or they're under totalitarianism, they're all saying the same thing. You guys got to start to wake up. You guys got to pay attention. We're watching exactly what we ran from, and it's happening in this country that we came to because we thought it was free. And now now they're all flipping it on us. You guys got to wake up. And, you know, I just we just held another rally here in Regina yesterday, and there's 100 people that showed up. You know, I mean, it's what they're going to take, you know.
I think it's going to take I think it's going to take people to be directly and massively interfered with in their lives in Canada before they get involved, Mark. I really do. And I'm it's sad to say that, but they just, you know, what the government is doing in this country, the fact that people cannot take time to sit and look at what is happening inside our government right now it speaks volumes of where Canadians are. We're just a bunch, me and you, but bunch of apathetic people in Canada.
Absolutely. And, you know, my big hope was that with this whole COVID thing back in, even way back in the spring, we started talking about when we understood what was happening. You know, I saw it as, you know, as a good thing in the sense that we'll be able to wake up a lot of people. You know, there'll be a lot of people that finally understand, you know, based on the science that we know of, that they're going to wake up to it. They're going to wake up to the insanity. But you know what? En masse, they haven't. And that's because the media has the narrative locked down. The politicians are, you know, carrying on with their – they never answer any questions. It's a singular narrative. There's no opposing views allowed. In fact, if you oppose things, you're banned on social media. You're banned from communicating. Your free speech is gone. And now when we meet in protest, you know, we're being fined. We're being ticketed. And now even
put in jail. Yeah. For freedom of speech.
On no grounds.
If people don't wake up to this, Mark, I don't know what to say. Yeah. This is so in our face now that we're watching the Communist Manifesto unfold in front of our face, page for page, paragraph for paragraph, right now. And people are still asleep to it. What the hell's wrong with Canadians? Our grandfathers are rolling in their graves right now. Rolling.
Yeah.
It's sad, man. It really is, because it's so obvious. I mean, I don't know. This isn't something that just happened overnight, Mark. You know, the way society is now, it's taken them many, many, many years to socially condition society to get them to accept what society is accepting now. This just didn't happen overnight. But the seeds were laid many, many years ago. They knew what they were going to do with society, how they were going to condition society to get society to go along with just about anything that the government says. And here we are. Today, we're in a big, big pile of trouble, buddy.
Yeah, we are.
Go ahead. I said you got a couple other projects I want to talk about too today, but yeah, go ahead, continue on. You get me talking, and I was trying. Not to overtalk on you, buddy. Sorry. Go ahead.
But I use my mom as my barometer of what's happening, because she's heavily in the matrix. You know, she's 84 years old, and she, you know, spent her life watching the CBC and mainstream news, and that's where she gets all her information, and she doesn't expose herself to anything outside of it. And I just watched, you know, I called her the day, asked how she's doing, and, you know, she's struggling because, of course, she's lonely. She lives by herself, and, you know, she's desperately waiting for the vaccine and desperately waiting for the vaccine to fix everything. And has absolutely no context in the bigger picture and what's happening. And I don't have the heart to tell her, because, you know, I'm going to let her stay in her bubble as shitty as it is, pardon the French. But, you know, rather than sit her down and say, okay, but this is what's really I'm not going to tell her, because, you know, why am I going to scare her even more to the reality? But I use her as a barometer, and I, you know, so basically what she's telling me is what the majority of the people think, and it's all media fed, and there's no opportunity to oppose. There's no opportunity to consider, you know, other evidence or doctors, specialists, in regards to COVID. It's just completely locked down. Well, why is that? Why don't you people ask the question? Well, why are we only hearing one narrative? Why don't we hear some opposing views? Doesn't anybody question anything anymore? And the answer is no. And that's why they're so successful in putting this through and using COVID as the mechanism to usher in, you know, this whole great reset and sustainable development.
Well, it's like Klaus Schwab wrote in his book, buddy. And when was that book, Steve, when was that book published? You've read it, haven't you?
I haven't read the entire thing, but it's published July of last year.
Okay.
It doesn't say when it was written. It says it was published.
Published in July. So about, what, 3 or 4 months into the pandemic?
Yes, basically.
Well, it's one I'm going to read because I've talked to somebody else that read that book, and they kind of told me that it's a must-read, that anybody that really wants to get a full context on what's going on to read that book because it really crosses the T's and dots the I's. Have you read it, Mark?
Yeah, I got a copy here. I haven't read all the way through it. I actually read it on a camping trip, my last camping trip before the snow fell. I mean, it's a good read. It's not enlightening in any way for anybody that's been following this, but basically what I see it as, the book and the Great Reset is really a marketing tool. The World Economic Forum and the UN partnered in June of 2019. And really what that was a sign of this and confirmation of the convergence of fascism and communism, right? The UN Sustainable Development Agenda that's been in development since the late 60s, that's the Communist Manifesto, just written in a whole lot more pretty words. And then you have the World Economic Forum, the Klaus Schwab of the world, the fascists, basically this big global government partnering with big global corporate world oligarchs, monopolies, and partnering. And this is, you know, what they're calling stakeholder capitalism, which is the furthest thing from capitalism that you can get. And it's the convergence of fascism and communism through technocracy. And that's what they're going to do. And that's why they're shutting down small business. That's why they're using this pandemic to shut down small business and the free market and usher in this new world order. Their words, not mine. And the stakeholder capitalism, this partnership between the big corporation and big government, global government, to dictate all aspects of our lives. And here we go. And this is, you know, John D. Rockefeller said it himself. We need, and I'll paraphrase, but we need a big event to be able to usher in the new world order. And this is it. Here we are. This is what they're using, and this is what we're seeing, and it's the beginning of the end if we don't stand up.
Yeah, I believe this is definitely the conditioning being put in place right now. But I think the mechanism they're going to use, Mark, is they will collapse the dollar, because that would have a catastrophic effect on society, and it would allow them to bring in draconian measurements that people would accept, because all of a sudden they're in a situation where their dollar isn't worth 5 cents, that all of a sudden the bank card isn't working, that the economy has been completely shut down. Of course, chaos would erupt like crazy, and they're going to play off that. And of course, they'll come up with a solution, problem, reaction, solution. You know, they've been using that for hundreds of years. Well, of course, they're immediately, the government would come on, and Mr. Trudeau would be the hero and go, hey, look, guys, you got nothing to worry about. We're going to wipe out all the debt. There's absolutely nothing to worry about. You'll be able to go to work tomorrow. The stores will be open in a couple of days. The only thing is that you're going to have to combine with a few new rules that we're going to bring in. And you know what? People will just bend right over for it, Mark, because they're not going to have a choice. You know, and I know when the mind is put into a state of chaos, that mind will do just about anything to get rid of the scream. And they're sure going to play off that. And I think that's the mechanism, one of the mechanisms. Maybe that and a couple other things that, you know, triple whammy. Yep, you know, like it. Yeah. You know, I think about that all the time. Yeah, and that's what, you know, that makes sense, right? It would, you know, they control the money. They can collapse the dollar. They could have it all collapse in 2 days from now. Mark, people don't realize that. We're living on a bubble right now, that the whole financial system is designed to collapse. And here we are. Crazy times, buddy.
Yeah.
But
absolutely what they're doing. And I mean, they've been on this financial bubble, you know, for a long time. And it was never going to not collapse. And so I think they're manipulating and manufacturing the upcoming collapse. And this is what they're going to do. They'll usher in this new global governance, this new system, essentially social credit. Hey, where you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what they're. That's the big word now at Davos, man. That's what they're all saying. You're going to own nothing. And you're going to be very happy. You know, everything's going to be taken care of. Well, you look what the government's doing in Canada with the CERB programs, man. How they're conditioning people. to be absolutely dependent on the government, and they keep extending it and keep extending it. You know, Mark, if they actually told people, hey, listen, you know, this medical lockdown that we've got you under right now, that's never going to go away, by the way. It's going to be here for the next 20, 30 years. If they actually told people that, people would rebel. But what do? We're extending it another 30 days. Oh, another 30 days. Oh, more cases, more cases, more cases. It's just like, man, come on, folks. And our whole world, they don't talk about the suicide rates in children. That's what really pisses me off, Mark, about this. The most, the damage being done to our kids is just right off the scale. People don't seem to get a damn about that. They're more worried about 0.025% of the population that can be affected by this. It's just insanity, man. It really is. Go ahead.
It's absolute insanity. Yeah, no, you're right. And that's, I mean, that's the situation we're in. And, you know, all of these things to do with COVID. I mean, like I said, I had hoped, and I mean, we have to the best of all of our abilities to, you know, use COVID to wake people up. Like, you know, for example, the PCR test, you know, since the beginning, a lot of us have been questioning this whole PCR test, and we should have been questioning it because the experts, even the guy who invented the damn thing, Kerry Mullis, said you can't use it to identify infection. And, you know, so they've identified it as corona, but they haven't even isolated the COVID-19, the actual, you know, illness.
And so, well, wait a second. Hold on. They made a vaccine for it. How can they make a vaccine if you don't isolate it? Go ahead.
You have this test, and it's completely unreliable in and of itself. And then you cycle it through CT cycle threshold. You know, you can ramp it up to 40, which is the average across Canada, which renders it completely useless because of the false positives that are garnered from it. But that's what they're using to establish the numbers. And what do they use to justify the measures? All the numbers, the case numbers, death numbers. Oh, my God. Everyone's hair's on fire. Yep. But they're numbers that are mostly false for a virus. For an illness that has 99.9% recovery. Insanity.
And you we've got to give everybody a vaccine for that, Mark. Come on.
Insanity.
I know.
But it's the same strategy. It's exactly the same strategy that they use with climate change, right? They use fake models. They input all the data into these models themselves, and they come up with the outcome that they need to instill the fear where the next thing you say, we need a carbon tax to fight climate change or the earth is going to die in 12 years. And what do people do? They run with their wallets open saying, here, I want to save the world with my taxes. Here, give me this. I want to pay it. I want to give you my money. It's insanity. But it's the same thing we see with COVID. And it's all based out of fear. It's all based out of, you know, this whole narrative. And people are begging for a vaccine. For what?
They're rolling up their sleeves. I'm going, wait a second, folks. I mean, really, is society gone to that point, Mark? Are we that far gone as a society that, you know, that rational thinking has gone out the window? I mean, the only way they're ever going to get one in my body, Mark, and I've said it, and I know you guys that are out there listening to our show right now, the RCMP, the CIA, whoever else, Canada Security Services, Revenue Canada, whoever's listening to the show right now, I've made it quite clear the only way you'll ever get one in me, Mark, is if my blood's not pumping through my body. Because I will not take their vaccine. But unfortunately, I just cannot believe that people are going ahead and taking this vaccine when the numbers are out there. All they have to do, Mark, is go on the internet and look at the numbers for deaths in Canada for 2020 and compare them with the years before. And you're not going to see any kind of a rise anywhere. But wait a second. What happened to the flu virus this year, Mark? What happened to that this year? I thought we always talked about the flu and COVID kicked it out the door.
Yeah, it's insane.
I got to laugh about this. Go ahead.
But none of what we're talking about makes it into the mainstream. You know, none of it. They don't talk about the World Health Organization on January 20th, an hour after Biden was inaugurated, that they came out with the notice that you can't just rely on the PCR test. You have to incorporate all of these other diagnostic, you know, practices. But that's not discussed. Nobody talks about that. But it's funny, as that happened. Around 10 days ago, North Dakota had 12,000 cases of COVID. Within the 10 days, they're now down to 1,000 cases, and they're going to start opening up. Well, why is that? Well, it is, because the World Health Organization came out and said you can't use the PCR this way. You have to do it with all these other things, and don't cycle it so high, because if you cycle it that high, you get all these false positives. So I guarantee you, although they won't publish their CT value, I guarantee you they reduced the CT value down to, you know, maybe 30 or 25, and boom, all of a sudden their numbers are dropping. I guarantee you that's what's happened in North Dakota. Yep. Will it happen in Canada? Nope, because they're running with this narrative that they've held on to for so long, and nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about the World Health Organization and their new notice. Information, I might add, that the World Health Organization knew before the COVID was even a thing.
Right.
This is information that they've all been aware of. They know this. This is why so many scientists and doctors are screaming against the PCR test, because they knew all this information before. Why does the WHO come out with it just coincidentally an hour after Biden's inaugurated? Come on. Come on.
Well, you never hear about the great declaration of the Great Barrington Declaration. I mean, I tell people, do you know what that is? And if you go on the internet right now and look it up, Mark, you'll find out that I looked at it a couple of weeks ago, but it's like 120,000 doctors around the world have signed on to this declaration.
Is it up to that now?
I think it's 120,000 now. It was 2 weeks ago. I think I don't want to be misquoted. I know it was over 100,000. I'll go check the numbers again. But the list is growing, folks, of doctors around this world right now that are absolutely screaming about what is actually going on. The letters that are being wrote to the World Health Organization. Well, none of that is ever covered on our mainstream. We really got to, you know, we should be, as Canadians, if we wanted to focus our attention anywhere right now, Mark, that'll make a difference, we should all be standing outside the offices of CBC and demanding the resignation of all executives that are absolutely committing treason right now on Canadians by not providing the information that we should be getting. It is absolutely a travesty, but, you know, if you look at Germany, Mark, the same thing, you know, after the Rastatt burned down, and Hitler controlled the country, he controlled the media. And once you've got the media, you have got the people. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's what it is. That's the key to all of this, of course, is the narrative. It's the messaging, and the media has that locked down. So the answer is to bust through. And how do you do that? Well, I guess you protest outside their buildings. I'm not sure they're going to pay attention or listen. And maybe that's because that's such an important key. Maybe that's when the cops start arresting people here too. I don't know. But that is the key. It's this information war that we've been in for so long, and they're winning it because we can't bust through that narrative. And, you know, we try local talk radio here in Saskatchewan in the morning, and we call in, and we get a little bit of time if they actually don't screen me out. And a lot of times they screen me out because they know exactly what information I'm going to bring to the table, and they don't like it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we get through, and sometimes we're able to, you know, at least move the dial a little bit. But, you know, that's still a small segment of the population that you know, garners all their information from the mainstream. So that's the key to it. But how do you bust through it? And, you know, we have social media, but, of course, we're censored there. And I'm shadow banned on Facebook, shadow banned on Twitter, and I just coming off suspension on Facebook and YouTube. So, you know, but even still, even when you're working these social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, I'm so ridiculously shadow banned. And the algorithms limit my reach to people who already know this, and they already support what we're doing, and they already get it. So who am I talking to? I'm preaching to the choir. I'm talking to a bunch of people that already know. So it's extremely frustrating because, you know, you want to reach people. And then when you get to somebody out in the public that has no idea, well, you can't hit them with a sledgehammer of information because they'll dismiss you immediately. So it's this, you know, this position that we find ourselves in that's incredible. Incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, where we know so much truth and we're just stymied left, right, and center from sharing it with the general public is extremely frustrating. And then, of course, you know, you talked earlier in the show about people looking at you the wrong way when you're wearing masks now or not wearing a mask in the store. Well, I feel that when I go into the stores. But this week here, Mark, is the first time that I've actually lost a really good friend who told me, because my position with the mask, that I'm a danger to her and her family, that I was doing business with this lady for about 7 or 8 years, and all of a sudden, because I'm absolutely adamant, won't listen to a word that I have to say, goes home every night, turns on CBC, drinks a Kool-Aid and goes to bed and believes that's the truth about what's going on in the world. And I'm a threat now to her, so we had to part paths. But that's the first time I've actually seen that wedge actually work in society. So, you know, the divide and conquer, man, the master's at it. A divided society is one that can't stand against the enemy. And, boy, I'll tell you, they just do it everywhere, everywhere. We could talk about all the different things they've used to divide us over the years, Mark. You know, a piece here, a piece there, a piece here, a piece there. All of a sudden, you got a whole pile of pieces. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the division is really disheartening. I see it all. I mean, I talk to people all the time who've, you know, lost immediate family members because they've been completely cast aside, cast out because we take the position that we do, and I see it everywhere. This division and this animosity now between people and it's by design, a divided we fall, and that's exactly what they're doing. And I mean, it's diabolical, but you know, give them credit, they got it down to science.
They know exactly what they're doing, Mark, and they sat down in little think tanks 30, 40, 50 years ago and laid out all these little pieces that they're going to use to divide society, and along came all the different movements in the late 70s, early 80s, early 90s. We're a little here, a little there, and now we're in the, 2020s, and we got BLM and Antifa. Oh, and BLM are been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Isn't that great news?
Yeah.
That made my day, man. Of all the people that they deserve it the most. Not.
Full-blown. Full
what
blown
a joke.
Nominated for Peace Prize.
Yeah.
You know, everything is upside down. Everything is, and that's, again, it's all by design. All of this is by design, and they've been working on it all for years, and they have us exactly where they want us. You know, in the grand scheme of things, there's maybe 5% of the population that, questioning this and standing up to all this. The rest of they're all just frogs.
Yeah. Sheeple lining up for the slaughter, man. And then, of course, the police are going along with what the government's forcing them to do right now because they don't want to lose their pensions, but they don't realize that they're actually shooting themselves in the foot, that what they're bringing for their children in the future isn't anything that I would wish on my children, and yet here they are going along. It's really sad to see what's going on in our police forces in Canada. You know, Kellyanne Wolfe, you know, a great lady. I love talking with Kelly. She was extremely excited about coming on my show here today, Mark, and she got arrested yesterday in Toronto, folks, for simply standing up for freedom of speech in Canada. She is in jail, and they won't let her out, Mark, and they're not giving us reasons for holding her. I mean, her lawyer's been involved. Folks, this is really getting out of control. And yet, you know, this kind of story never hits the mainstream media in Canada. None of this ever hits the mainstream. And that is, of course, our biggest problem. If we could get a hold of the mainstream media and get a hold of the narrative just a little bit in mainstream, we could turn this whole thing around because Canadians would all of a sudden go, hey, we're not going to take this crap. But unfortunately, they're not getting the information they need, Mark.
No, and it's interesting to watch. Across the country, the different response. I mean, Quebec and Ontario have gone absolute haywire. They're in Saskatchewan, it still hasn't gone full crazy. We haven't gone full lockdown. Businesses are still open, of course, restricted with numbers, and kids can't go to school or kids can't go play their sports and all these things, which is bad enough in itself. But it's interesting to watch how this thing moves across the country. And I think, you know, when you look at voters, you look at voter history, Quebec and Ontario are a vote liberal, and they're much easier to manipulate, much easier to pull this stuff on, as a group of people than I think in the West. And so it's interesting to watch, and I don't know if they're going to try this, that approach here, but I think they'll come up with a whole lot more resistance if they go too far, I think, on this part of the world. But, you know, I guess we'll see. That remains to be seen. We'll see. But I talk to a lot of people every day, and my province is getting, they're coming around. They're coming around. It's, people are getting more and more frustrated.
And, well, we see it. We so see it in Alberta.
Yeah.
We see it in Alberta. Well, they're all in defiance now. The list I was – who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody in Alberta this morning. Wayne Peters. I was talking to him, but – apparently, the list of businesses that are actually going to openly defy the government next week in Alberta is growing exponentially, Mark. And that is really what it's going to take at this point is nonviolent, open, civil disobedience is the order of the day. And that's our duty, folks. That's your duty when a government becomes tyrannical like this. It's not something that you should do. It's absolutely your duty because, Mark, what's coming for our children, man? You know, I don't want to see my children and my grandchildren living in a communist country, but we're going to be there. Yeah. We're going to be there within 5 years, maybe even shorter if we don't stop this. I shouldn't sit here and maybe put a timeline on. Maybe it's going to be 10 years, but regardless, if we don't stop it now, you know, and I know it is going to come. So,
yeah, 100%. And, you know, but I do get some, I get encouraged by some of the things that I see, you know, in Saskatchewan and Alberta, and even in the States, you know, states like Texas and Florida and North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Oklahoma, you know, these people are still, you know, there is a breaking point. There is a point where they're just going to say absolutely no, it's not going to happen. We're not going any further with this nonsense. It's going to happen. And in what form that takes, I don't know. Historically, if you don't do it peacefully with civil disobedience and this sort of thing, then it's going to devolve into something far more violent that none of us want. But that's the path we're on. And you know, ultimately, you know, people can make the argument that that's exactly what the UN wants. They want open rebellion so they can come in and quell it and start everything over. But I think they underestimate people in that sense. But we'll see. You know, if something isn't done, and we don't stand up for you know, our God-given rights and our freedoms, and they keep moving forward, it's going to blow. There's no question about it. And, you know, so it's a matter of time. Again, you know, it's interesting to watch across the country what's happening and how they treat different regions and how they impose different things on these people. But, you know, sooner or later, that line's going to be crossed. So I am, you know, in that sense, I'm encouraged because, you know, it might have to get really bad before it gets better. But I think in the end, I think, you know, we win. And at the end, you know, I always say, you know, on my shows, this whole agenda, the whole communist, fascist convergence is all based on BS. It's all based on perception. It's all based on narrative. None of it's based in reality. None of it's based in truth. And so the foundation is literally the swamp. And our foundation of inalienable rights, of truth, of justice, and all these things that we cherish, our foundation is built on all of those values. And it's rock solid foundation. We just have to get down to that foundation and start defending it. But I think ultimately we win, but it's how much pain and how much crap we're willing to put up with until we do, you know.
Well, I hope it's soon because I think, honestly, that if we don't stop it pretty soon, the window of opportunity to stop it might close. And, you know, there's mechanisms we're not talking something here, folks, that we have a generation to fix. If what's going on in Canada is allowed to go on for another I don't want to say 2 or 3 years, but really, realistically, 2 or 3 years from now, there won't be much of Canada left the way this government's going. What they're doing with shutting down our oil industry, what they've done to separate the West from the East, what they've done to the oil industry in Alberta has just been decimated by this government. All about clean, green energy, that we are the reason for climate problems on this planet. And if we pay Justin Trudeau his carbon tax, he's going to save the world. This is just, you know, there's people here that would, if I say to them that, you know, all climate change is controlled by the sun, that is our mitigating factor. The amount of carbon that we actually put into the earth is not even equivalent to a major volcanic eruption. One major volcanic eruption would put as much into the atmosphere as the whole world has since the start of the Industrial Revolution. But if you say that, people, they think you're nuts. I mean, people actually want to punch you. You know, what are you talking about? You're a nutcase. But it's the truth. Well, but that's how they've been conditioned.
All you have to do is, you know, I try to boil it all down. At the end of the day, we know through science that more CO2 means more vegetation. More vegetation means more CO2 gets captured. It's this wonderful thing we call nature that's based on this cyclical thing. And that goes for everything. I mean, we're part of nature, although they love to make us as humanity as the enemy to nature, but we are nature just as much as everything else. And the whole system works together, and it's going to continue to do that. And so, yeah, do we want to pollute the atmosphere? No, we don't want to pollute the atmosphere. We don't want to pollute our streams and rivers and forests and you know, all these things. Of course, we want to look after what we got. But at the same time, we have to recognize that being human, as part of nature, we contribute. And you know, as part of the system, it is what it is. It's going to do what it does. And guess what? If we end up being there's too many of us, nature's going to look after that. Nature's going to take care of that.
Always has.
And it is what it is, and it'll do what it does. And you know, we just have to take the time that we have and live our lives to the best way possible. And Mother Earth and Mother Nature and whatever will take care of itself. And it does, one way or the other. So this whole arrogance, this whole attitude that, okay, on one hand, humanity is the enemy, but on the second hand, you're saying that these particular elites of the world are going to have the solutions and we're going to dictate to everybody on the planet how we're going to resolve these problems. I mean, the arrogance, the psychosis that's necessary to think like that is amazing. And people just lap it up. They're like, yeah, great. You know, they're going to do wonderful things. And like, come on.
Well, when did carbon become our enemy, Mark? When did that happen?
Exactly.
All of a sudden, come on, folks.
Exactly.
I mean, and if we look, I've looked at the actual concentrations of carbon in our atmosphere right now, and I went to three or four different sites to get accurate numbers, and it's approximately 400 parts per million right now, concentration in our atmosphere. Well, life on the planet stops growing, folks. Basically, effectively, stops growing at 180 parts per million. That optimum conditions for carbon in our atmosphere is 1,500 to 2,000 parts per million. And what Mark said earlier a few minutes ago, that's beautiful because plants grow. Everything is just vibrant. And now carbon is our enemy? Come on, folks. Come on, man.
This whole thing, you know, is built on a house of cards. It's all about perception. It's all about manipulation. It's all about fear, right? And with fear, you can do whatever you want with the masses to guide them around and be that savior, right? Problem, reaction, solution. That's just as you mentioned. So, you know, that's all COVID is, too. It's just another mechanism to manipulate and socially engineer the masses. That's all it is.
Boy, is it ever working effectively, eh? It's unbelievable.
Yep.
Just look at the last year where we've gone just in the last year, Mark. It's just mind-boggling what's going on. It's just like, wait a second, I woke up in another world, you know, because we are supposed to be intelligent species. We're supposed to be able to kind of sit down and look at both sides of every story, but we don't have that anymore in society now, and henceforth we're in big trouble, man. I hope it turns around, Mark.
Another mechanism, of course, is this whole cancel culture, right? So I mean, now If you supported Trump, you're essentially a domestic terrorist, right? So they just essentially labeled 80 million Americans, if not more, as domestic terrorists because, you know, they supported Trump. And if you supported Trump in Canada or you're of that same ilk, you're basically a domestic terrorist and they're going to investigate you and you're going to be put on a list and, you know, you're shut down from social media and you're shut down from this. So, you know, it's all part of the... it's all by design. It's all part of the agenda.
Yeah, it's all part of the new point system.
Demonize any opposite.
Yeah, and they're so effective at it because, of course, they control the media. So, I'm going to be up. I'm going to stay optimistic. You know, Mark, I have to at this point stay optimistic that eventually this will get corrected. It's just how much grief we're going to have to go through before people actually wake up to the fact that the government is not your friend at all in any shape or form. Unfortunately, until we get to that point, we're still going to be up against the wall here. I hope it happens soon.
You know, like, Barry, Mark,
I really do, because I'm getting sick of this crap, man. I really am. I have a hard time dealing with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, being in this fight, and I completely agree. I'm the same place you are. But being in this fight, I also look at myself, and I look at what, you know, how my perception changes and my attitude changes. And, you know, there's a large part of me now that is really starting to consider what I'm going to have to do on a personal level to get through this. You know, because, I mean, my whole objective for the last number of years is to educate the masses, inform the masses, let them know what's coming, and so we can be prepared and we can fight this off and we can oppose it and not have to go through this. But I also have to now accept, okay, well, I've done what I could and many other people have done what they could. I have to start looking at what I'm going to do for me and my family to survive and somewhat thrive in what's coming. It's just a natural, it's what you have to do. I mean, if people aren't willing to wake up and they're going to sacrifice everything because they believe in the government is going to save them from everything, then, you know, what do you do? So I you know, I still have hope, and I still believe that this is in people. It hasn't hit them yet. And we have to recognize too, Barry, that as far in as we are, and as to the understanding that we have and that we're at, we're so far ahead of Joe Canadian and regular mainstream Canadian. Right. It's going to hit them, and they are going to oppose this. It's just a matter of when, and I hope it's sooner than later. But I think they will, because if I talk to my neighbors, if I talk to people in the community, we share the same values. We want the same things. We cherish the same, you know, principles. It's just they don't understand that those are all under attack. They don't get it, but they will at some point. It's inevitable. So it's this race between how much they're going to achieve from a globalist perspective versus how until the people realize how bad this is and how it's going to affect everybody. You know, look at the farming community in Saskatchewan is huge, and I'm trying to bust through the farming community to let them know what's coming, and you know. They don't want to pay attention, at least, you know, in large numbers. There's a number of them that phone me and call me and say they agree 100%, but they're just as frustrated in their community as I am in mine, because they, you know, they just don't see the big picture. But they're going to. It's just, you know, it's this race. So we'll see.
Well, you know, Mark, you know, and I know that if everybody in Canada right now knew how much trouble and how much danger we're actually in, knew what you and I know, some of the stuff that we know, as a common person, if they had that information inside their brain right now and they realized what they were up against and what was coming, you would see them rise. But we're up against the mainstream, and that, I think, is something we should focus our attention. Jürgen Wolrath is running for president, guys, of the CBC, so support Jürgen. He's actually going to go after the presidency of the CBC. He is so choked with what's going on in the mainstream, and we all should be, guys, because it's total Nazi takeover of our media. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree 100%. That is the media is the linchpin in all of this, and because they've locked down the narrative, and that is the key. That is the key to getting the information out. And like I said, if Joe Canadian understood and had the information, hey, they'd be right on board, but they don't. And so the linchpin really is the media and the narrative and the information ultimately.
So you're going to be coming to Edmonton, I guess, on the 20th, Mark? Are you going to try and make that rally?
I sure hope to be. We're struggling. My business is struggling because things are so quiet right now. So I got to focus some attention there and see if I can get some work and you know, try to survive ourselves. I'm hoping to get there on the 20th. I got lots of things on the go here. Well, through the Forum for Canadian Sovereignty, we've been trying to put together a billboard campaign, but of course, there's no billboard company that'll take my money because of the message we're putting out, which is interesting in itself because they use their community standards of, you know, making sure that
that there's you know, no discrimination. While you say that, you're discriminating against me. So we're going to try other things. We got some semi-trailers lined up that we're going to put on some highways. We have already some locations that people have said, yeah, you can put it here. But we're sort of holding out. We want major highways, like in Saskatchewan, Highway 11 or 16 or 7 to Calgary.
Right.
So we're holding out for some really prime locations. If people, anybody listening out there that has this or knows people that have land along highways that are major highways, you know, get in touch with us because we want to put up some billboards. And there's a couple other things we're working on to try and bust through. And I really can't even tell you what it is because I don't want to identify what we're doing. But we're going to get creative. We'll put it that way. And in getting the message out and exposing people to some opposing viewpoints. So we're looking forward to doing some of that stuff.
Mm. Why don't you talk about Freedom Forum for a minute? Tell people what that's all about, Mark.
Yeah, it's a Freedom for Forum for Canadian Sovereignty. Yes, it's a group that I established shortly after the election in 2019. I felt that we needed a way from a nonpartisan perspective to expose people to the reality of globalism and the globalist agenda and educate people. And, you know, we wanted to be speaking tours across the country. And once we were formally established, it was about the same time that COVID came in. So that kind of dashed our initial mission, which is why I've been so active in the protest movement through my organization. Because it's, you know, it is, protesting is another platform to help educate people. So, you know, that's what we've been doing. It's gotten to the point now, Barry, where I'm actively looking for people in smaller communities throughout Saskatchewan and around the country, really, that will host a gathering, whether it's in a farmer's quandit that's heated or whatever. Let's meet, because this is all about, you know, community and communication and spreading the word. And if they've got us so locked down and so stuck in our own homes, nobody talks anymore. And when you do go out, everyone's got a mask on and everyone avoids each other. So nobody's talking, nobody's exchanging information. And we really desperately need to do that. And the grassroots is the best way to do it. So that's, you know, we're looking at doing those things too. So, and I encourage everybody else to do these things as well. We have to get back to community. The only way we solve this is through grassroots, people talking to each other and informing each other and educating each other.
Absolutely. And it's so sad to see people walking around with masks, Mark. I just don't know what to say to them. I really don't. But what a way to effectively shut the public up and not allow us to communicate with each other. People don't want to talk to each other because they're scared of each other. You know, keep 6 feet away from me. It's just absolute ludicrous, but it's serving their agenda so well, how they're dividing society. Perfect. It's almost masterful. I mean, these guys are psychotic, but they're also geniuses. And here we're seeing the results of it.
They've not planned these things, so, you know, none of this is a surprise, or should be.
No, actually, you know, if we go back to shows that we were doing 6 or 7 years ago, Mark, we would talk about all these things that they're going to bring forward and how they were going to bring society to their knees, and here we are. And we all knew these days were coming. I just expected a little bit more of a positive response from Canadians about what's going on in this country right now, because it's in your face, guys. It's, you know, there's no denying what this government is doing. That Trudeau is a traitor right to the T. There's nothing in Trudeau that's Canadian, that he hates this country, that he wants to see this country destroyed. And that's his prime objective, and he's accomplishing it very quickly, Mark. So I hope that people do wake up very quickly here, because what's coming for the future of our children, Mark, you know, and I know, would just, it scares me. It really does. If it gets to that point that we lose it. But I'm not going to say we're going to lose it. I think we're going to win this, man. Matter of fact, I know we're going to win it, Mark. It's just we're going to have to go through some crap before we get there.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I agree 100%. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It has to, because that's the only way the masses will wake up. And we'll be there ready and waiting.
Well, you remember, man, this came out last year, folks, it was going to be 15 days to flatten the curve. And Justin Trudeau came out and told us that, you know, 50,000 people minimum were going to die from this global pandemic, up to 350,000 expected deaths, and none of that has ever come true, except for the fact that the 15 days has turned into almost a year now, and it's never, ever, ever going away. If you think for 1 minute, folks, that this is going to go back to normal, that what we had prior to this announcement of this global pandemic is ever going to come back to society, not unless we stand up and put a stop to what's going on. If not, this will go on forever, period. Yep. So we're down to about 3 or 4 minutes here, Mark. Why don't you share real quickly your social platforms where people can reach you and hear you? Because I really enjoy listening to you.
Yeah,
shows.
Well, sure. It's all basically, it's all based out of our website, essentially, which is www.ffcs.info or www.standforfreedom.ca. So you can find us there, and that's probably the most secure at this point. I'm on YouTube, but I'm on my second strike. So any other time I say something they don't like, I'm gone. Facebook, I've just come out of suspension. So you can find me there too. Forum for Canadian Sovereignty on Facebook. You can find me at Mark Friesen PPC on Facebook. And then of course my profile, but I'm maxed out at 5,000 friends. So you just have to follow, I guess. And then I have, some of the alternative video platforms that I'll be using moving forward, of course, is Odyssey. They're going to have a live streaming option here very soon. They're working on their beta right now. And Rumble as well, we're told, is going to have a live streaming option. So I'll be migrating over to those. I have accounts there now. And again, you can just search Grizzly Patriot and you'll find me. And then Gab I'm using as an alternative to Facebook, Twitter, and, sort of migrate over there because my days are numbered as well as a lot of other folks. So,
yeah, I'm expecting to get banned any day. Cool. Well, look at folks. Yeah, I recommend you follow Mark because I've listened to Mark talk for quite a few years now, and he's well worth your time to take time and go listen to his shows, especially Friday night when you get Salim on. I really enjoy listening to that man talk. So there you go, folks.
Yeah.
And what can I say, Mark? Thanks a lot for joining me. It's always a pleasure to have you in. It's been a great conversation. And I'll look forward to our next one.
Sounds good, Barry. Thanks again for having me. And anytime, I'll take any platform that's afforded me. Appreciate it.
Okay, I'll take you up on that, Mark. Okay, folks, I'm going to be back in 3 or 4 minutes. My dog is at the door, and I'm going to go outside for a couple minutes. I'll be back with Ed Jam. He's like, oh, hey, Mark. You're going to hang around for a few minutes. Oh, he's left already. Shoot. Okay. Anyways, I'm going to call him back in for a minute on the second hour there, Steve. I'll be gone for about 3-4 minutes here, folks, and I'll be back with Ed Jemsek.
Thank you.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks to Mark for coming in the first hour. And actually, we just pulled Mark back in here for a few minutes because originally I was going to be joined by Kellyanne Wolfe here the second hour. But unfortunately, Kelly was arrested yesterday in Toronto for freedom of speech. And she apparently is going to be out of jail here in the next hour or so. But she's currently, right now, I believe, still in jail. So Ed Janicek was gracious enough to join me for a little chat about what's going on with Kelly and what's going on in Toronto, and also a couple ideas he wanted to throw at Mark in the second hour. So welcome to the show, Ed. Thanks for stepping in.
Thanks for having me on, Barry. Yeah, I was about a block away when Kelly Ann got arrested at yesterday's protest, the anti-lockdown protest in Toronto. And she wasn't doing much. If you see the video, she's just basically standing around with hands in her pockets, not saying anything. But as you know, the Toronto police, they are no longer following the law, but they are following orders. So I don't know if people are aware of the fact that the police have been cracking down pretty good on protesters against this anti-mask issue at and the anti-lockdown issues at Dundas Square, which, quite frankly, I think we should rename to the Tiananmen Square as opposed to Dundas Square. It seems a more fitting name, don't you think, Barry?
Well, it's going that way, isn't it, Ed? Very quickly.
You've seen what's going on there. I'm sure you've seen the videos. I don't know if the stuff goes viral, but I know they're trying to shut it down on YouTube and Facebook, among other platforms, and all kinds of people getting deplatformed these days. It's getting worse here in Canada than I think it is in the States.
Yeah, and they're proposing new legislation to crack down on us even more. And I don't think that our ability to talk like this will be existent in Canada very much longer, myself. But you had a couple ideas today about what we can do for Kelly, or is she actually going to be out of jail, or is she going to join us? Originally, you were talking about getting some people together and going down and having a little bit of a protest. But if she's actually out now, that probably put on hiatus. But maybe she will be able to join us here in the next hour. That'd be pretty cool, because I'd love to hear from her.
Well, I just got a text from her boyfriend, and he says, to quote, "I'm outside the station. They said she should be out in less than 30 minutes. They're just filling paperwork." And that's a direct quote from his text. So maybe in about half an hour, she may be able to join us. But quite frankly, after spending a day and a half in jail and not being happy about it, don't expect her to be in a good mood if she does call in.
You think, Ed?
Well,
we shouldn't laugh about her
if she was in a bad mood.
Well, we shouldn't be laughing about it because they're coming for you and me next, Ed. We're just one little rung down the ladder. They're going to silence the speakers first, and then they'll come for the rest of us, and we know that's just around the corner.
I don't know if they're going to come for me, Barry.
No?
Well, they don't. I've been in construction most of my adult life, and if I can build it, I can break it.
Okay.
Do they really think they can hold me there long?
Well, I don't know if we should go there, Ed, but you are a pretty big boy, so maybe they'll think twice about tackling you. But what happened yesterday in Cali, in Toronto, man, that should have us all not sleeping well at night.
Say, Barry,
see how far they've gone. Go ahead, Steve.
You still have Mark on. Did you want to bring him in for something, or?
Yeah, Mark. I'm sorry. You wanted to talk to Mark about something today, Ed? What was it you wanted to talk to him about exactly?
Well, I just wanted to discuss with Mark if he's going to be showing up or if he's going to be attending or pushing the event in Ottawa, February 14th. We're having another large anti-lockdown rally, and apparently we got a pretty good contingent of people coming from Quebec. And I don't know if people are aware of this, but Quebec is under a really hard lockdown. They're in curfew from 8 p.m. till I believe it's 5 or 6 a.m. No, sorry, wow. I think it's 8 a.m.
Wow.
Apparently doctors.
Yeah, so.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so I spoke with Kelly about a week ago after my discussion with Stephen Lartis out of Quebec, and he was sort of questioning if they're going to go on the 14th, and I basically said, yeah, you know, I'm having a hard time getting 100 people to a rally in Saskatchewan, never mind getting people to go to Ottawa. People are in a really bad way economically. People are You know, and of course, there's the fear of going to Ontario and having to quarantine and all these other things that they're going to be exposed to. Trying to motivate the masses to go to Ottawa is tough. And the second part to that is we're starting to have some success, at least, you know, in Saskatchewan and Alberta, with people waking up and understanding what's happening. And I, you know, there's a large part of me that thinks a lot of this is going to have to be dealt with province, by health association of each province, because each province has different rules. We're not in a lockdown in Saskatchewan. We're not, we don't have close to what you guys are dealing with in Ontario, Quebec, although we have our own issues. We're just sort of trying to stem the tide here on a provincial level. So between all the things happening, it's really hard to motivate people to go all the way to Ottawa. That's, you know, that's 3 days on the road or a flight, and who knows what's going to happen with flights, with everything that we've seen. So it's just, it's really hard to do.
Yeah, they're really clamping down on the airlines, man. It's unbelievable some of the draconian measures they're bringing in. But why are they doing that? Because they want to stop us from traveling. Period.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what's going on. The announcement made by Trudeau a couple days ago, it's just shocking. But in the same mouthful, it's not, because he's just ramping up the agenda, man. Divide and conquer and keep us at home.
You think it's time to start a petition to have Trudeau called by what he really should be called? And I'm not saying prime minister. I'm thinking.
Can we say it on the radio?
Something more appropriate, like general secretary. Isn't that what the leader of China is called, and North Korea and all those other tyrannical communist countries? Because if you get right down to it, look what he's doing to us. Tell me that's not tyrannical. Tell me it's not communism. Comments, guys?
Yeah, absolutely it is. 100% that's what it is. We know that's what it is. And I mean, it's not even Trudeau, to be honest with you. Trudeau's a puppet. He's a figurehead. He's being completely controlled by the UN, by the globalists, by global governance. He's doing the bidding for all the Klaus Schwabs of the world. You know, so take him out, put him in with somebody else. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever, because this is all driven by entities outside of our borders.
Yeah, and that's the problem we have in Canada right now, is that we don't have opposition in government. That all factions of our government are being controlled by globalist interests. So we have no opposition. We have the NDPs working with the Liberals to basically form a majority vote on anything they want to push through Parliament. We have the so-called Conservative Party on board with the Paris Accord. I mean, O'Toole is just a tool. And what else we got in Canada? We got the Greens, and we got the who else, man? We got nobody. But then the only party in Canada that makes any sense to me is the PPC. And, you know, people go, well, you can't support any kind of political party, Barry, because they're all the same. Well, I say bunk to that, because I've listened to what they have to say. I look at the people that are involved, Mark, and that to me speaks volumes about a party. Some of the people that ran for the PPC in the last election, people of great of great respect, honest people that are shooting from the hip, that are in it for the right reason, all took their time to get involved. You're an example of that. Frank Vaughn's an example of that. There's all kinds of the doctor, I can't remember his name, in Ottawa that got involved, right across the country.
Celine
Mansour. I mean, they're all people that are in this for the right reason, folks, that they see our country being destroyed. And the only option is to put a stop to the globalist interest and get the United Nations right out of all business dealings in Canada. If we don't stop that, we will be a global government within, I don't want to say how many years, but in the very near future. Very near future.
We already are.
Well, yeah, I don't want to say that, but we basically are. We are. We still have a shred left of freedom in this country. We still have a shred of it left, but it's getting so small, man. We don't use it pretty quick, man. We're going to lose it all, Mark. I honestly believe that. So here we are. Our backs are against the wall. Time to come up swinging.
Don't forget, guys, we also have Dominion voting systems here in Canada.
And mail-in voting coming now. Isn't that great?
have they lowered the voting age? Have they lowered the voting age yet down to, like, I don't know, 6 years old or something yet?
12. I think it's 12. along with the age of consent for anal sex, that's down to 12 now, isn't it? If Trudeau had his way, that would be what would come next. I mean, just a matter. I shouldn't even have brought that up, but that makes me sick. what he did there, yeah. man. Just another example of how evil this man is. The new coronavirus
testing regimen.
Brought to you by Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Insanity.
You know what's insane? This has all happened before. This has all happened before. It's not something new. This was done in Germany in the 1930s. This was done in Russia in the 1910s. Mm-hmm. This is history repeating itself, and the fact that they don't teach it the proper history in school, and I'm sure Steve can attest to this. It's happening.
Yeah, well, we talked about this earlier about, you know, we're talking about avowed communists in BLM being nominated for a Nobel Peace Award. Like, the world is so upside down, but it's upside down for a very particular reason. And you're right. And you put historical context to this discussion, and it's all repeating itself. The commies, the Nazis, who are generally the same anyway, it's all been done before, and they're doing it again, and we're letting them.
Yep. And the latest example of it worldwide would be Argentina. Of course, look what's happened to – or Venezuela. Look what's happened to Venezuela here in the last, 12 years. They were one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and they're basically a poop hole now. That people are fighting with each other over a loaf of bread. You'll kill your neighbor for a loaf of bread. Well, you don't think that can happen in Canada, folks? You've got your head in the sand because it's happening now. Trudeau is destroying our economy. And the effects are going to be felt in society real soon here, Mark. Everybody's going to start getting affected by what is going on. It's just a matter of when it hits them. And maybe they want to hold it back. Maybe they want this perception of everything to be just fine, that the hockey games are on, you can drink your beer, that we've legalized cannabis. I mean, everything is great in the world. You're getting your CERB check every month. Just go into your house, be quiet, watch your hockey game, drink your beer, smoke your cannabis, and everything's fine. We'll look after everything else. And that's where they've taken society. And they're just going along like little sheeple going, yeah, sure, great. Where's my check? All of a sudden, it's going to stop. All of a sudden, it's going to come 100%. To a stop. Yeah. And then what's going to happen?
Anyways, guys, I'm going to take off. I got a couple things I got to do here yet.
Hey, thanks for hanging around.
But again, thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you, Ed. Give me a call later. We'll chat, Ed.
Thanks, Mark. It's always great talking to you. I love your insight and your honesty. It goes miles and miles. People right, listen.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
That's the only way I know how to be. So like it or love it or hate it. It is what it is.
You have a great day, my friend.
You too, guys. Ciao.
Thanks.
So how many people were on the street yesterday in Toronto, Ed?
I'd say between 700 and 800.
Wow. That's pretty pathetic for a city of, 4 million people now in Toronto?
It's
a crowd, Ed, but it's pathetic. It really is based on the population of the country. It really speaks volumes about how much Canadians are still asleep or how apathetic Canadians are. Look what's going on in Denmark right now and the Netherlands and Germany and France and Italy, where people are coming out in millions to stand against this. Here in Canada, we have a problem hitting 1,000 people. I know you guys are trying, that you've been doing this every week religiously, Ed. It's just really discouraging when I see what's going on in this country right now with people's levels of willingness to get involved.
Barry, we've never really, here in North America, we've never really had a war here per se, except the War of 1812, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And 1865, the Americans were thinking about that coming up and taking over Canada. That's why we actually became a colony of England and made it official back in 1867. And there was debts that had to be paid and, cost of war and all that from 1776. Steve, step in any time if you want to correct me, because my history is terrible, but hopefully it's getting the point across. So in Europe, they were exposed to the Second World War, the propaganda. They seen the Russian Revolution, yet Eastern Bloc countries were all invaded by Russians. The older generation, they've experienced this, and some of this was actually filtered down through the schools from grandparents talking to parents, talking to the kids, grandchildren, whatever. So they've got a taste of it. And in countries like Poland, where the Russian the Soviet bloc start to fall apart in the late 90s. If you look at who's being most vocal, it's the people that are from these foreign Eastern Bloc countries, and a lot of people, if you listen to them, they've got accents. So people that have come here from the Eastern Bloc to Canada, immigrated for a better life, they see what's going on, and that's a large component of it.
Well, they see what they ran away from is following them right into Canada. They came here for all these good reasons, and it's all taken apart now, man. And they realize that what's going to happen here in the next 5 or 6 years, if we don't put a stop to this, is exactly what they ran away from, Ed. I mean, the writing's on the wall here in Canada right now. Just look at what our government is doing. There's no hiding it anymore.
So people are being deplatformed like crazy. The people that are trying to stand up and speak out. Look, Kevin J. Johnson, he's getting huge audiences. He's getting views of 20, 40, 60,000 views within 24 hours of some of his videos. But I've got to broadcast his Facebook Lives for him because his page is shut down.
Yeah, I know. He told me that. He's on, and he's on the next hour. You know that. He's coming in for a chat.
So now we're getting – yeah, so we're getting creative with our workarounds. But, yeah, they're cracking down pretty hard on us. And you know there's more laws coming. There was the Minister of Heritage, which I don't understand what that minister is all about. But this guy, Godet, I believe his name is.
Yeah, Michel Godet.
Yeah, so he's proposing more draconian censorship rules on Facebook.
Yep.
He's also been talking about licensing social media. So
there goes our ability to talk, Steve. Or Ed, I should say.
Yeah, but say I think with the internet, people are going to be so much more creative.
We'll find ways around it.
Barry? My
12-year-old nephew knows what the dark web is all about.
Barry?
Yes, Steve.
I know you did a slip there. I called my name, but it's been a couple of years ago. There's a group of people over in the UK. They're called the UK Column. The British government tried to regulate them, tried to characterize them as a news-like agency. And they wanted to register them, control them. And it didn't work, though, because they're just on the internet. You know, they're just on YouTube and Facebook and that. But they wanted to.
Yeah, I know. I slip up a lot. You know that, Steve.
Yeah. No, but I just...
My brain's-
I just thought I'd take the chance of telling you that.
It happens to me. It happens to me quite a bit, guys.
Because they're probably going to try to do that to us, too. They're probably going to try to do that to us, too, though.
There was a guy came into town today, and he had a van. He's selling stickers. And he had a whole rack of anti-Trudeau stickers. So I ended up spending money that I didn't want to spend today. But I think I bought everyone. I think I bought everyone he had. Well, man, your timing was perfect.
Was that a white pickup truck with a
F? No, actually what he's got it's like a bus, a small bus, but the guy just travels from, really cool guy, man. First time I've ever seen him in Terrace. He comes in on Sundays, of course, because he doesn't have a business license, and the city inspectors aren't out on Sundays, so he comes in and sets up on a Sunday and sells his goods. But he says he's been here before, but it's the first time I ever ran into him. But I stopped and looked at what he had in his vehicle today, man. And the guy is very, very creative. What a great way to just go around. And he travels all over the province selling his wares. Cool, man. But anyways, he had a whole bunch of anti-Trudeau slogans. And I bought an anti-Trudeau sweater, blah, 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 blah. Ended up spending about $70 with a guy that I didn't plan on spending. But he had the stuff I wanted to buy to express my feelings about my prime minister. The fact that our whole country isn't up in arms right now, Ed, well, there's only one reason that they're not, and that's because of our mainstream media. It's like me and Mark said in the first hour, we should really be focusing our demonstrations and our anger at the mainstream, because the mainstream, if they were to do their job, if they were actually reporting to Canadians what Canadians needed to hear about what's going on inside our government, you would see the Canadian people rise. Because they'd all realize that what's coming for us, they wouldn't wish on their worst enemy. And that's what's coming. But until we get a hold of that narrative, as long as they control that narrative, Ed, we have a big problem on our hands. I think we should be focusing a lot more of our attention on the mainstream and being held accountable for what they're doing. Go ahead.
As you know, 3 weeks ago, I was issued a couple tickets by Metro's Finest, so they claim to be. And the location of the infraction was Dundas Street at John. Guess who's at Dundas Street and John?
CBC?
City TV.
Okay.
So usually during these marches, the march will stop in front of the CTV main building and recording studio. So we've got about 800 watts of PA equipment on top of the pickup truck and another couple thousand protesters. A few of them have bullhorns and they're all chanting fake news and tell the truth. No, there's not too many people barking, but maybe.
No, my dog, my buddy who didn't know that I'm on a radio show right now, just walked in the door and he's kind of rocked the ship a little bit here. But how you doing, Mike? And welcome to the big puzzle.
How's everybody today? I can't hear you, so I'm whatever.
Anyways, he's going to sit for a few minutes. It's all good. Unexpected company. But that happens around here once in a while. But yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you saying there, bud?
Yeah. So every Saturday we've been doing these anti-lockdown protests, anti-mask protests with Hugs Over Masks and various other organizations. And we always stop in front of the City TV building, and we'll be chanting, and it gets loud. So of course I got a ticket for unnecessary noise, $100. And another ticket for unsafe load, another $150. And the location was right in front of the CTV building. Now, did someone from CTV call down and say, hey, we can't have this. Get these people moving. And why would they choose that as a location? Because the PA system was just as loud on the entire march. It didn't get any louder there. So, you know, we're making a difference. And people got to understand every little bit helps, which is also the reason why the cops have been cracking down in the last few weeks. That's why they're keeping us off of Dundas Square or Tiananmen Square, you choose. And if you look at the tactics they're using, it's similar to what the Chinese would be using.
Yeah. No, we're in China, man. We're in China right now, Ed. What are you talking about? We have no democracy left in Canada. They basically shut the whole. They basically shut down Dundas Square. Am I correct? It's Canada. Yeah, exactly. It's China now. It's not Canada. Not Canada anymore. But basically, they shut it down, didn't they, Ed?
Yep.
And that's what I heard.
Now I don't know if you guys heard about this, but last year there was 100 new billionaires in the world.
I'm one of them.
Really?
No, I'm kidding, man.
You think he'd be sitting here with me if he was a billionaire?
Anything's possible in this world, especially this day and age. Everything's upside down, so why not? But anyways, 100 new billionaires last year, and most of that is because of COVID-19. So someone's making money off of this. It's either the people that are importing the masks. You got SNC-Lavalin, which was recently received a contract that's come to light for, I think it's $1,700 million. To put up these quarantine facilities.
Right.
And we're hearing about that where people are getting stolen right from the airport, locked up for 2 weeks. And now there's new legislation coming down the pipe that if you, I think this is what Trudeau announced, if you're traveling in from another country, you fly in, you got to quarantine for at least 3 days, $2,000. Who's going to pay for that? And they're expecting the traveler to pay for that. So now they're scaring more people away from traveling. You've got airlines shutting down flights to the Caribbean. Yep. But it's okay for all kinds of ministers and Trudeau to go down south for Christmas holidays. But
of course.
Not us.
They've got to have their holiday. You know, there are rulers, man. They've got to have their holidays, Ed. We can't deny them that. I mean, come on. We know there's two sets of rules in Canada. And we're just a sheeple, but we don't have any power. That these guys are actually running us like we're just property of the state, man. That's all we are to them. And didn't they steal your amplifier or something at one of the demonstrations there, Ed?
Yeah, that was just over a week ago when they arrested Kelly. Just over a week ago, she was. First of all, they wouldn't let us set up in the pickup truck on the side street. then they said, we're not going to let you even set up on Young Street because we usually have the pickup truck, the speakers, the PA system. You know, there's a step stool there so people can jump up in the pickup truck, address the crowd properly. It's basically a makeshift stage. It's safe. It works. Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps traffic flowing in Young Street. So, no, they wouldn't have that. So I figured, okay, maybe I'll set up on the other side of Young Street. And I was parked there for all the 2 minutes. Says, no, you're moving or you're getting a ticket right now. Choose. Wow. So I said, okay, let me finish my live stream and I'll move the truck. So they're not letting us do that. And so now they're pushing all the people off of Tiananmen Square onto the sidewalk. And you've seen what happened after that. And if police tell you to move or ID or something, or they want to charge you, if you don't comply, yep, they tackle you to the ground and break your thumb.
This is Canada, Ed. Are you sure this is Canada?
I'm still thinking about it, Barry. It's almost like it's a bad dream, eh?
It is really, really getting out of control, and we all know that. And what's coming is, you know, if people don't stand up to this crap, they're not going to stop. They're pushing society right now, and society is just bending over. And if we don't stop it, man, they're just going to keep pushing and pushing because they see how Canadians are reacting. They realize that Canadians are the most apathetic people in the world, that we have no testicles, excuse my language, but we don't in Canada, that we're all a bunch of sheeple. Except for the people that you know and I know, and maybe 5% or maybe 3% of the population in Canada is actually standing up against what's going on. The rest of them are just going along to get along. I mean, go to the grocery stores and everybody's got a mask on, walk down the street, and people are wearing their masks outside in fresh air. That's how far they've taken us, Ed. I mean, people will buy anything that they tell them, and they know that.
Boy, no, they know the... They know the power of the media, and if you listen to CNN or CBC, people are always looking for hope. They got to get their hopium, and on CNN, they're always coming up with a new spin on issues. Just the other day, when was it? Actually, this morning I seen a video clip by Mr. Fury. He's a reporter for Sun News.
Right.
He's usually been pretty good, but
he's pretty
this
good.
Morning – Usually, but as of this morning, I'm done with this guy.
Well, what did his he say news this article, morning? I didn't see the clip.
His news article was about how poorly the Ford and the Trudeau government have performed trying to secure vaccines. I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
On the vaccine bandwagon, is he?
Yep.
That speaks volumes, Ed. Come on.
That's why I'm done with him. And next time I see him, and I will come across him one of these days soon, his ears are going to be hurting when I'm done with him. Let me tell you.
Well, you know, and I know, Ed, anybody that's promoting the vaccine agenda on the country is a player. That they have been taken behind the scenes and they know exactly what's going on. And they're promoting this thing like crazy. We got Canadians rolling up their sleeves to take this vaccine for something, for a virus that, 99.67% of us approximately, you hear lots of different numbers, but it's over 99% of us are never affected by, but 100% of the population has to be vaccinated now. And we all got to wear masks that have no effect in stopping this at all. I mean, they're just bending people right over, and people just are going along with it, man. And they realize this. They know that they've pushed us here, and they've seen how society reacts. So they know that they can push us again because society's going to react exactly the way they figured they're going to react. They brought this vaccine out, and Trudeau said, you know, Trudeau came out and said nothing's going to go back to normal until everybody's vaccinated. And he wasn't kidding, and that's what they're pushing. And anybody that takes this vaccine, Ed, got to have examine of their brain, man, because they're just not looking at the information that's available about these mRNA vaccines. They're terrible.
Well, actually, even in the schools, they're teaching kids about, you know, how great the vaccines are and the propaganda. It's going pretty good, and they're teaching kids how to stay off the dark web and how to recognize any articles or videos that may be coming off the dark web. But they're not teaching them the fact that they're propagandizing all these kids. So it's kind of a slow boil where you take the kids and you mold the mind. When they're young, they're very moldable. But as they get older, it gets harder and harder to break that mold. And that's kind of what they're counting on. So expect more of this for the next 10 years. Kind of like, hey, don't you want to go out and join Antifa? They're getting a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, can you believe that shit? Excuse my language. Can you believe that poop, Ed? A Nobel Peace Prize for BLM? I mean, that's how far our world has turned upside down, man. It's just absolutely insanity.
Didn't Barack Obama get a Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah, they gave him one. He's the worst president in U.S. history. I mean, that guy, man, he should be hung for what he did. I can't say that on here. Yes, I can. They haven't blipped me yet. But if we start talking about certain things, guaranteed they'll start blipping us. Because freedom of speech is going out the window, Ed, very, very quickly in this country. We are in a full-blown communist dictatorship here, and people don't even recognize it for what it is, Ed.
Well, who do you blame? Again, you guys were talking about this earlier with Mark. It's mainstream media. CNN, it's blaring it all the time. You tune into AM radio all the time. COVID this, yep. COVID that.
Yep.
Even
you
the
go
FM,
to the local radio station here, Ed, and that's all I hear. I turn on the local station, and I did the other day. I was driving to Rupert, I think. I wanted to listen to the radio, see what they were saying. But all that was on there was COVID-19, COVID-19, COVID this, COVID that. You know, new restrictions, new this. How to do – I mean, you know what? Believe it or not, they're preying on a percentage of the population that are very, very vulnerable to this kind of information. And, of course, I'm talking about the Aboriginal population here that are really being blindsided by this, Ed. They are really being blindsided by it. But that's what they want to target, and there's a reason for that.
On this for a second?
Yeah, sure.
What's the difference between the vaccine that the Indians are getting, we're getting? Because there is a difference between the vaccines that they're getting on the reses here.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. My buddy Mike Anderson is sitting in here right now, and I've had lots of conversations with Mike over the year, and I didn't know he was going to drop in, but I didn't know that there was a difference in the two vaccines, Mike, so I'll have to look into that.
Yeah,
I know that Moderna has just made an announcement they're going to stop producing the vaccine because of all the problems, that they came out and made a statement this week that the whole world should be listening to, Ed. Did you hear what they said? They were going to stop producing the vaccine because they have discovered through their own information that herd immunity works much better than the vaccine. And that came right from Moderna. Now, I double-checked that article. Apparently, it was true. So that should be speaking volumes about what's going on with this vaccine regimen, man. It's insanity. It really is.
Barry, I think it was Merck that said they're not going to produce it. Moderna, I think, is still they're still ramping up production. I think Moderna is actually producing the vaccine in India.
Okay, maybe it was Merck.
I'm pretty sure it was Merck. I stand to be corrected. Steve, let us know who's right.
Okay.
I'm trying to search that up
now. Well, anyways, I know I read that this week, and I kind of looked into it a little bit, and it seemed to be legit. But anyways, we have had – the thing about this vaccine that disturbs me the most, Ed, is that there has been no long-term studies. There are no animal studies done with this vaccine. And any vaccine that's brought to the market is always subjected to animal studies. And the reason they do that is because the distance in age in generations in animals as opposed to a human being. A factory rat,
Barry.
Two years generational change.
It was, so Mark,
four,
Barry.
5 or 6 years, they can monitor what the changes are. But we had none of that, period.
It was Merck.
Under the declared health emergency. Huh?
It was Merck.
Okay, it was Merck. Okay. Excuse me.
You're excused. Yeah, and another thing about...
Okay, thank you.
Another reason why they didn't do animal trials is because they've been working on this coronavirus vaccine for years and years already, and every time they thought they had it, they'd expose the animals. It looked like they're building antibodies.
Right.
And then the next time they're exposed to the virus, it's an overreaction and actually kills the animals. This is the testing that's been going on for the last 15 years, approximately. Right. And this is documentation I've come across. So if you know the animal trials are going to fail, why don't you just go around them? And that's what they've done. Now, if you go on the internet, you won't find this if you Google it, but if you Google reactions to COVID-19 vaccines or name the vaccine. And if you go on DuckDuckGo, you'll find those lists of vaccine injured and vaccine deaths. You'll not find this on Google, though. See what they're doing here?
Yeah, they're censoring. Of course, they're censoring any of the information about the negativity of the vaccine from the public. That's their job, is to keep that information from the public. You know, in vaccines, I mean, that's something we talk about lots on these shows. And just the fact that, you know, the vaccine industry will always tell you that vaccines are safe and effective, but in the same mouthful, every vaccine that's sold on the market in North America today, a couple pennies are taken off that vaccine and sent to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board to pay off vaccine injuries to people with a gag order. So, come on, we know it's money, 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 man.
If memory serves me, I think it's $1.40 for every vaccine that's dispensed goes into this vaccine injury board.
But yeah, the board's going to pick out. I looked at it last year, and they've paid out since 2008. They paid out $6.7 billion in settlements for vaccine injuries. And the average settlement is around $250,000. And every settlement that's made by the board, you have to sign a gag order that your injury, the nature of the injury, and what the injury actually is will not be discussed with the public. You have to sign that before they give you your $250,000 check, and that's what you get to look after your vaccine-injured child for the rest of his life sometimes, because a lot of it is autism. We know that autism is right off the scales right now, as opposed to what it was in the 60s and 70s. Numbers are right off the charts, and they're going up like crazy. So why is that? Why are we seeing such a spike in autism in our society? I mean, it's 1 in 28 girls and 1 in 50 boys now are born with autism. Shit, Ed, in 1969, it was 1 in 20, I believe it was 1 in 25,000 children were born with autism in 1969. And now it's, what, 1 in 50 boys and 1 in 28 girls, or have I got it backwards? I'm not sure if I've got them in the right order, but those are the numbers that we have today. So what the hell's gone on?
Okay, Barry, there needs to be a distinction made, and this is very important. You said born with autism. I don't think any of these kids are born with autism. I think when they're giving them the jab, within a day or a few days, they become autistic. I've seen a lot of evidence of that.
So have I, but a lot of them are being born with autism, Ed. That's a fact. I know that a lot of children become autistic immediately after vaccinations, but when do they give a child the first vaccination? As soon as they're born. They give them, what, a hepatitis B shot now? To a newborn baby? Is that correct? I believe that's one of the things they give. Well, where's a newborn baby going to get hepatitis B from, Ed? Why would you even think about giving a newborn that kind of a vaccination? What's the mentality?
If you're a eugenicist, you have every reason to give it to a newborn, because they know newborns have barely developed a immune system.
In the brain. Yeah. Well, they have no immune system. They have no blood barrier in the brain. That doesn't develop in a child till they're about 18 months old. So anything that's put into a child's body previous to 18 months of age goes directly into the brain. Any heavy metal that that child's being subjected to goes directly into the brain. So if you have a pregnant mother and she goes out and gets a flu shot, flu shots contains thermosol, which is mercury, contains formaldehyde, contains all kinds of stuff that I can't even describe, can't pronounce. But all I say to people is you got to take the bottle, take the insert off any of these bottles, look up the ingredients, put them in the computer, and cross-reference them on the computer, and you wouldn't give that to your worst enemy. But here you are lining up to take your flu shot. People just don't take time to look into stuff, Ed, and that is a sad state in our society, because we are supposed to be informed, especially parents that are allowing children to take these vaccine regimens. I say shame on you. Because the child isn't in control of what's going on in his life or her life. You are. And you are the one that's supposed to be overseeing what's right and wrong for your child. So if you haven't taken time to look into some of this crap yourself, then shame on you. Shame on you. Go ahead.
Well, here's another thing, Barry. Here in North America, I think most people are very honest. Overall, I think the vast majority of people are quite honest. And I don't think I'm stretching either by saying that. And we have daily interactions, and overall, I think most people are not trying to put the screws to you. Most people are actually decent. You know, you go to a store, someone rings up a cash register, and usually the amounts are right. You don't expect to be shortchanged in your bank teller when you're getting cash dispensed. You're doing a business deal. Usually you get a few quotes. Keeps us honest, kind of. And, you know, it's choice. It's freedom of choice. And generally speaking, up until recently, most people trusted other people. And yeah. I think mainstream media knows that. I think politicians know that. And they're capitalizing on our false beliefs that politicians are honest, medical officers are honest. And overall, if you get into politics, you do it for the fact that you want to serve the public. And what I mean by serving the public, it's do good by the vast majority of people. And that's the way the system is supposed to work. So if you've got good politicians doing good things, they'll get reelected. And that's the misbelief that we're led to believe. And this dynamic, it's got to be changed, this way of thinking. Everyone should be thinking, okay, you're a politician. You're going to lie. You're going to rip me off. You're going to cheat. And you're going to do everything you can to load your buddies up with favorable contracts. You're going to steal as much money as you can from the system. Look at the governments. They haven't been in session. They've been doing Zoom meetings from home. They're working part-time, yet they're still taking full-time wages. Where does that – in what normal world does that work?
Wait. We're all in this together, Ed, they tell us. We're all in this together, buddy. Come on.
Yeah, we're all getting ripped off together. I'll give you that one. Yeah, sure, we're in it together,
buddy. Well, Ed, if you were coming out of college and you wanted to get into a career that was just going to set you up nicely for the rest of your life, what would you want to be? You'd want to be a politician, because when they're finished their 8 years of service to the public, the so-called service to the public, what do they get for a pension for the rest of their life? It's ridiculous amounts of money that they pay themselves for the rest of their life for basically screwing the public for 8 years in a row. They get paid off for the rest of their life. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better job, Ed. And how much of a salary do I get? And I got all these perks. Come on. I mean, corruption, it's just, it is set up for corruption, buddy. Corruption finds politicians, because that's what politicians do when they become politicians. They become corrupt, that they get pulled into the system, that they get taken into a little back room and told what the rules are. And these are the rules. And if you don't play by these rules, you're not going to be in the ship. They know that, and they all get bought into it, Ed. It's a joke. They don't serve the public. But then, like I said, if you wanted a career job, what a better career job, man, set up for life. It's like our governor general who just got disgraced, man. She's supposed to get, what, $159,000 a year for pension for the rest of her life, 42 years old, just made a sham of our governor general's office, and we're going to pay her, what, I think it's $159,000, I read, for the rest of her life. Well, man, she's just sitting there laughing. And who appointed her? And what qualifications did she have? Well, the only qualification she had was that she was a female and she'd been in space. And that was it, Ed. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not a flat earther, but there's many flat earthers who would beg to differ with you as far as her going to space goes.
Ed, I haven't given the flat earthers, honestly, more than about 1 minute of my time since I heard about it years ago, okay? Because anybody that's stupid enough to believe that the earth is flat, I don't want to have a conversation with. Go ahead.
Just still chuckling on that one, Barry. Okay, so what do we as people that are listening to this show, our audience is in the States or in Canada, Barry?
Well, I'm broadcasting overseas. I get a lot of listeners in Canada. I get a lot of listeners down in the States. I'm being simulcast on Shake and Wake down in the States, so I get a lot of people down there listening to me. I'd say mostly American audience. I know I get Canadians tuning in, but I know a lot of people on my Facebook pages tell me they listen to my shows all the time. But I really don't know what the demographics are. I got a few people listening overseas. I know there's a guy in Australia listening to my show today. So.
Okay, so what words of wisdom can we give them? First of all, we know history is repeating itself. We know if we start preaching to our friends and neighbors, and I'm still guilty of it too, but I'm doing less and less of it every day. But whenever I have I get accosted for not wearing a mask or questioned, I usually ask other questions. And my whole approach to doing what I'm doing, getting the word out, is trying not to preach. I'll say these are the facts.
Yep.
And then I'll ask pointed questions. You know, you believe what you believe, but where are you getting your data from? How do we know this is real? Have you looked at the World Economic Forum? Do you know who they are? And just kind of pointed directions and point the questions into a way you want them to look at. Now, they're free to take a look at it, or they're free not to take a look at it. If they want to be ignorant, that's fine. And you give them the option. If you want to carry on this discussion, let's do that. Give me your opinion on what you think the World Economic Forum is and what they're doing. Mm. Who is Klaus Schwab? Have you read the book, The Great Reset? Why has every politician in Canada received a copy of The Great Reset?
Good question.
This is the only way you can change the way people think, as far as I know.
Well, yesterday I had, for the first time in Terra, somebody look at or question me why I wasn't wearing a mask. And I was in Wholesale Foods getting groceries yesterday, and a guy came up to me and walked by me and said, "How come you're not wearing a mask?" Well, I turned to him and said, "Because what I have on my face right now is just as effective at stopping this virus as what you've got on your face right now." And I said to him, I said, I throw this at everybody. Ed, I said, "I'll bet you, I don't know if I worded it exactly like this, but my normal response will be, in a polite way, with a smile, says, I'll bet you $1,000 right now that you cannot prove to me that these masks are effective in any way at all in stopping this so-called virus. If you prove that to me right now, undeniable proof right from the manufacturer of the mask, which I've gone to for my information, I will gladly give you $1,000. I've also said to people, I said, if you can prove to me at all that these things are effective and are doing something good for society, and I would be doing society a good thing by putting it on, I'll be the first guy to actually do it. Until you can do that, I'll see you later." And I left one guy with those thoughts yesterday, and I just walked away on him. I find my first response is to kind of get mean. You know, you want to go like, "Well, why are you wearing a stupid mask, or why are you putting that muzzle on your face?" Well, we're going to lose people if we come back at them like that. So I really kind of bite my tongue, and I do. I want to reach people. Yesterday in Wholesale, I was the only person in there without a mask on, and I can just see people everywhere looking at me. You know, they're all there with their masks on. They're all looking at me. Why am I not wearing a mask? You know, society is really starting to be affected by this, Ed, and not in a good way at all.
You know, it's funny, Barry. I was walking on Bloor Street, and, I was just looking at the expression on people's faces. I seen one girl, she was waiting outside a store because it got restricted. If you go into some stores, you're only allowed two or three people in the store. She's waiting outside, and I'm just looking her in the eye, and she's looking at me, and I could see she was wearing her mask, and I could see the fear in her eyes. And actually, as I walked by, she actually stepped aside. She didn't have to step aside, but it could have passed right by. So a lot of people fear people that are not wearing masks. So yeah, it's a good thing you had this conversation. Now, on another note, I went to a delicatessen in Scarborough, and everyone was wearing their masks. They had the sign saying you got to wear your mask and social distancing, so I'll comply with that. And they got restrictions on how many people are in the store. But all the staff were wearing their masks, and nobody said boo to me. Not a word.
Right.
Which was pretty encouraging. And on the other hand, the day before, I went to buy some trailer parts. Walked into the shop. There's an older guy there. And I kept saying, "Hello, hello, hello." Nobody was in the back. It's just browsing there, looking at various parts. And you can hear him get off the phone, walks out of the office, says, "Do you have a mask?" He says, "No, I'm exempt." He says, "Sorry, we're not going to do this. You have to wear a mask or you're not buying anything here." I just told you I have a medical exemption. He says, "I don't care." Huh. I said, "All right, fine. I'll take my money elsewhere." And I left. And it was just me and him in a 2,000-square-foot industrial unit.
Yeah. Well, so, I love what Kevin Johnson's doing with these people, man. And if we all took that approach to actually holding accountable in a court of law for violating our charters, you'd see a lot of it come to an end. But unfortunately, most people aren't even aware of what our rights are, Ed. That's a sad state, but it's true. It's true.
Again, things used to be really great in this country, Barry. You know, I remember growing up in the 70s and 80s. There was lots of work. Wages were good. You were able to save money. Taxes were low. Mm-hmm. Price of fuel was low.
Yep. It was a great life, wasn't it, Ed? I remember it well.
I remember as an 18-year-old, I was able to, you know, in one summer, I was able to save up enough money to buy a three-year-old van, Chevy van, full size, and the $3,000 he needed to pay for the insurance for the year. So it was like a great summer job. Nothing crazy for the hours, like normal hours, 40, 45 hours a week. And after 8 weeks, I had enough money saved up to buy that van and pay for the insurance. Kids can't do that today, Barry. It's impossible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, Ed, I grew up in Toronto. And, I have great memories of my childhood in Toronto. It was a safe place to be. I could go anywhere in the city. I mean, at 10, 11 years old, my parents had no problem letting me get on a bus, go downtown to the CNE for the exhibition every year. We were allowed to go all over the city by ourselves, no fear. And now look at what Toronto is, man. It's turned into a poop hole. I know people living in Toronto now, and they want to get out of there, but a lot of them are having a hard time escaping it. And, boy, if I was living there, Ed, I'd be out of there so quick, make your head spin. Because to me, that's not living at all. That's existing in a rat race. And I just couldn't be a big city guy anymore, period.
Well, if you look what happened in the mid-60s, we had Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who left the Communist Party of Canada, got into the Liberal Party of Canada.
Yep.
And Maurice Strong, they changed the requirements for immigration into Canada.
That was the start of the multicultural experiment in Canada. Trudeau started it.
Now, whereas in America, if you come to the States, you're expected to blend into the American way of life. That's stated, it's accepted, and quite frankly, the immigration, I think, works a lot better in the States because you come to America or to the U.S. to become an American. And I think that's worked quite well. You've got unifying principles, ideologies, and it works because as a country, you're unified. Now, if you look at what's happened in the States over the last 10, 15 years, they're drawing lines in the sand. You've got cancel culture going on. Mm-hmm. They're trying to divide the nation. Mm-hmm. Here in Canada, we've had so much immigration that even Trudeau said it himself, old stock Canadians need to be replaced.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what he's doing, and he's doing it very quickly.
Yeah, he's very doing quick. It really quickly.
Of course.
He's got the Century Initiative, get the population of Canada up to 100 million people by the year 2050.
Yeah, I know, Ed. And
watch your time, Barry.
I know. We got about 5 minutes, 4 minutes. Or actually, we've got about 2 minutes left here, Ed, before I'm going to have to let you go. But what's going on in Canada? If it's allowed to go on, there will be no culture left in Canada. We will be a third world nation that us white Anglo-Saxon American Canadians will be a thing of the past. We will be eliminated from society. And everything that's good in our world will be turned upside down. That's where we'll go in the next 20 years if we allow this to go on, especially with the immigration numbers that Trudeau and the Liberal government are trying to do in Canada. Unsustainable, Ed. So listen, I'm going to let you have to go. I'm going to be on a break here in a couple of minutes, Ed. Why don't you tell people, share a last thought with people and where they can reach you, where they can follow you.
I actually do a lot of work behind the scenes for the mythiscanada.ca and .com. I help out guys like Kevin J. Johnson, and I'm really not trying to put myself out there that much. I just want to help those that are really good at what they do. And my closing comments, I will leave you with this. And it's a nice, cheery, sunny, kind of wonderful comment. Hopefully I can get this right. As Carl Schwab would say, you will own nothing and you will be happy.
I am looking forward to that, Ed. Well, hey, wait a second. I already own nothing.
and you're happy, right?
How much more of nothing they can take? Well, here, come and get it, guys, because I've got an old truck and an old car and a dog and a trailer. So come and get it. But that's all you're going to get out of me because there's no money in my bank account, Ed. I don't have a bank account. I knew this stuff was coming years ago. Yeah. But if you're smart, you put away some silver and some gold for yourself and a little bit of food and make sure you got firearms. Everything else is non-essential. Wouldn't you say, Ed?
Gold, silver, and lead, the three precious metals. And that's got to be encased with a copper.
Yeah, with a hollow point, preferably. Hey, listen, Ed, thanks for stepping in today on Kelly's behalf. I was really kind of hoping she'd get in today for a minute, but unfortunately we haven't heard from her. Maybe she might call in the next hour. If you get off the phone here with me and you have a minute, maybe you can give her a call. I'm on for next hour with Kevin Johnson, so she's welcome to call in for a few minutes because I'd love to hear about her experience last night. She'd probably be a little bit peed off, but that's good because she's quite a firecracker to begin with. I got to thank you for coming in today, Ed. You know what? You should be doing more radio, buddy, because you have a way of talking with people that I find really nice to listen to. So you got to do a little bit more on upfront stuff, buddy.
Well, thanks, Barry. But who wants to listen to a construction worker? Like, honestly, what do I know? Well,
who wants to listen to me, Ed? You know.
You've taken so many pucks in the head that you're focused in on what's happening. So you're a good
Steve. Yeah.
Yes. Barry hasn't gone on break. I said. Thanks. I said I'd call you.
Okay, Ed, we're going to take a break here for five. Okay, Kevin, you're here already. We're not. We're going to take a break here for 5 minutes.
I said I'd call you, Kevin, but you're okay.
Okay. You're okay. We're just letting Ed go here for the second hour here. Kevin? Ed Johnson. Okay. Ed Janicek's in here with me right now. And I just want to take a break for a few minutes and go use the bathroom, and then I'll be right back. But if you want to hang around, Ed, you can. back, Third Hour, folks. And thanks again to Ed for stepping in for Kelly today. Apparently, Kelly is out of jail right now, but understandably, she's in no mood to talk at all. It's always a pleasure to be joined by Kevin J. Johnson, who I've got in for the Third Hour today. Welcome back, Kevin. It's always great to have you in, my friend. And I know you have been boots on the ground, super busy here in the last little while. Why don't you bring people up to snuff of what's going on? And I know you got a million things to talk about. Buddy, welcome back to the show.
Ah, Barry, a pleasure, an honor, as always. All right, let's just dive right into it, everybody. The government, again, is very upset with me that my popularity is higher than most politicians in the country. This is something that happened to me, Barry, once before. This happened back in 2017 when my first YouTube channel went from 2 subscribers to 2 million subscribers in 5 months. The Canadian government went to full panic mode and worked their magic to get me shut down. They really don't like conservative voices out there at all. And we've seen the fact that they're going to continue to try to intimidate us by arresting Kellyanne Wolfe a couple of times, like once each weekend, it seems, by sending RCMP thugs out to the front door of Keenan Bexit from the Rebel.media, and then arresting me again on Wednesday, specifically and only because I went to Mississauga City Hall with a couple of 13-foot-long banners to try to talk to Mississauga bylaw officers so that I could once again ask them in person, hey, do you guys have any authority whatsoever over the general public or just people that work for the city? They see me, they lock the door, they hide behind the glass, and so on. And that upset them so much that they had the police come by and file another bogus charge against me, which my lawyer now says is malicious prosecution on their part. To try to get me to shut up, which is not going to happen, period. Every time they arrest me, what happens? More people come and watch my show. Barry, here's what they did to me on Tuesday afternoon. They send a letter or an email out to my lawyer saying that they understand that he is legal counsel for me, to which he replies, yes, how can I help you? They reply back saying they have grounds to arrest me specifically. And could I turn myself in at 9 o'clock in the morning? Sorry, 10 o'clock in the morning, the next day. Now, you don't have to do what a cop says immediately. If they really want me in at 10 o'clock, they got to go get a warrant for my arrest, which they did not do. And apparently, getting warrants right now is not easy in the province of Ontario, considering that the judges are all kicking back, relaxing. They're doing nothing at home. Well, my lawyer says Mr. Johnson will turn himself in 10 o'clock in the morning Monday, after we've had a chance to talk to the Crown Attorney, because we're going to try to get the charges negotiated before I even go into custody, which is our right. Well, that's not good enough for this particular left-wing police officer, whom I believe to be a member of Antifa. He looks just like them. He really does. Well, regardless, I take my son to work. I come home. Boom. Not one, not two, not three. Barry, not four. But 5 cars, 4 of them unmarked and 1 fully marked, all box me in my driveway. So I realize, all right, this is going down. I lock the door in the car, turn the car off, call my lawyer. Because the rules, Barry, are this, that as soon as they say, you're under arrest, and they touch you, you're in custody and you're subject to their rules. Well, I decide to lock the car door, sit inside the car, call my lawyer, and I talked to my lawyer for 20 minutes. Now, it's hilarious in that my lawyer is asking me the questions to yell at them through the glass, all right? What's your name? And the cop tells me his name. What's your badge number? He tells me his badge number. You know, do you have a warrant? No. Okay, he doesn't have a warrant. Like, and I'm deliberately shaking my head and up and down in my head so the cops outside the car, all 5 of them, understand that something is being said of value to me, which, believe me, everything my lawyer had to say was completely valuable stuff. And what he had done is he actually got on the phone with the Crown Attorney in advance to explain that these bogus charges against me are continuing to happen and that we need to put a stop to this. He also got a hold of somebody at the actual station. So after 20 minutes, my lawyer says, okay, Kevin, I got everything smoothed out. They're going to take you into custody and you're going to be released today. I said, okay. I will do so. I said, by the way, how long do you think that I could sit in this car before they do something? He says, well, they could phone and get a warrant to break the glass. and drag you out. And if they do that, they'll probably also get a warrant to search the car. I said, okay, that's fine. I get you. I'll stop messing with them and do my thing. So, and take my advice here, people. This is not legal advice. This is life advice. If you're in a car and the cops go to arrest you, lock the doors, roll up the windows, call your lawyer. Get on the phone with somebody immediately and spend the 15, 20 minutes that it takes to ensure you've got someone that knows you're going into custody. For me, the best person to know is my lawyer, and he knows. So that is when I emptied my pockets. You know, you take things out, like the car keys, my driver's license, all that. I took everything out of my pockets, so they've got nothing that they can steal from me, period. And that is when I start yelling through the window, hold on, I'll be right there. And I went live on Instagram. Because you have to. You got to protect yourself. And that's I flip on Instagram and I explain to everybody on Instagram, I'm about to be arrested. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, yep. 5 cops on my driveway, 5 cars. I'll put the phone on the dashboard and show you that I'm going to cooperate. And that's when I start barking out. All right. I am unarmed. I have no weapons. I have no ill intent. Do I have your assurances that I will not be shot or assaulted? And they said, yes, everything's fine. They actually took their hands off their gun belts and raised them up in the air to show me their hands were empty. And after asking a few more questions, just again to make sure that they knew I'm coming out in peace, I'm not going to hit anybody, they said they understood. That's when I got out of the car to accept my fate of being arrested. But when they went to pull my arm, my right arm behind my shoulder, to handcuff me, there's this crunching sound that comes out because my shoulder is done. It is totally screwed. It's popped out 3 times and they put it back in once and didn't set it properly. So imagine being in a hospital room where they had to set your arm, realize, uh-oh, that didn't sound right, crunch it back out and then crunch it back in. My right shoulder sucks. It really does suck. It cracks a lot. So when they went to pull it behind me, I barked in pain a little bit, like, I didn't mean to. But it hurt, and I said, "Guys, if you want my hands behind my back, you got to link 2 sets of handcuffs together. It's not going to go. That arm will not go back." They said, "Okay, if you behave, we'll cuff you in the front." I said, "I will behave," and I did. All right, I'm a man of my word. I'm not going to cause trouble. So that they sit me down in the back seat of the one marked police car, and that is when I see on the screen in front of me that there's a dossier on me. Kevin J. Johnston, 5'7", 211 pounds, with the home address, wrong home address, I might add, but the home address. And then it says, knows all bylaws. So that's a warning to the officer in question, if they're going to interact with me, that he knows all of his bylaws, that there's no point lying to the guy. He'll call you out on it. Also, it says that he is an anti-COVID reporter. Then it also says that I film all police interactions. So the officers now know in advance that they can't come in and lie to me or pressure me or do anything other than be professional because I'm filming it. I'm actually proud of that, Barry. I'm proud of that reputation. But the other part that I'm even more proud of is in the same dossier, which is a warning to the police officers not to act foolishly. There's also zero mention of violent tendencies. So there's nothing in there that states that I would be a danger to police, myself, or society. And right. That's also something I pride myself on greatly because I'm preaching to everybody. We have so many legal avenues to absolutely annihilate somebody's life. Let's leave violence to be the very last option. And that is my own personal belief too. I'm not going to use violence until I absolutely have to. And at that point, once I'm in custody, my rights were read to me. It's amazing how polite everybody becomes, including the arresting officer. So I'm having some fun chit chat with the rookie cop that's driving me down. I congratulated him on having his own car. We were talking about COVID. He's not a Bonnie Crombie fan. This is what we learned together. And he was blown away when I said that, you know, bylaws are not laws. They only pertain to city staff. And I said, regional bylaws only pertain to you, police officers, fire departments, and city staff. He goes like, no. I said, yeah. He's all shocked and whatnot. But I've been arrested before, all for talking, never for anything violent. Right. And typically when you get into the basement, when the police arrest you, the car goes into the underground. Then they'll call 5 or 6 cops for backup. 5 or 6 cops will then help you into the station. Well, the police know me. So what happens is the one officer gets me out of the car. I say, thank you very much. He closes the door and we start to walk towards the door. It's just him, no backup. And then he says to me, don't touch. And I finish his sentence off the red stripe, which is an alarm that police can slap on the wall because the guys with the guns will come running if you slap that red strip. And so he's smiling. He says, you've done this before. I said, yeah, this is number 12 for me. He says, like, what do you do, right? I said, I got the wrong political opinions. That's why I'm always here. So I'll tell you the truth here. Like, I wasn't mistreated in any way. They got me into my cell. They got me two blankets, not one, but two blankets. What else did they get me? Slippers, nice pair of slippers. Cool. When it came time to tell me that my prisoner's meal was now something that they had to go and get, I said, okay, I'm going gluten-free right now, so I'm going to require something like a chicken Caesar salad, which they got me, a chicken Caesar salad. They also said, do you have any medications you require? I said, yes, I actually have an anti-inflammatory for my shoulder. I must take at 2 o'clock. They go to my pharmacist and grab those medications for me. So I was not mistreated. I actually got some sleep in the jail cell by taking the mask they gave me and covering my eyes with it. Yeah.
Just another day in your life, Kevin.
Yeah, another day. But the two arresting officers come over and tell me that the courthouses are closed. None of the judges have time to deal with a bail hearing. What they've arrested me for is summary only, so it would be a fine if I'm convicted. I said, all right, well, what do you guys want to do? He says, well, if you are willing to sign the page today, there'll be no new bail conditions for you. We'll have you out of here before 2. I said, okay, that'd be great. Thank you. And true to their word, they didn't add any egregious bail conditions aside from one, which is they say, could you please stay 500 meters away from Mississauga City Hall? Now, my lawyer is already arguing to get a bail variance done to get rid of that stupid condition. But they had me out at 10 after 1. And then I realized, you know what? I'm on a radio show in Dallas at 2 o'clock. So before I leave the building, I say, can I either get a ride or cab fare or a bus ticket? And they say, well, no, we don't do that kind of thing. So they let me out of the same garage door. So I got a power walk and run combination of the two. I managed to actually get 3 kilometers north to where I have to go to my studio. And I stopped to catch the bus. Now, in Mississauga, I don't know why this is, but 5 buses passed me by and they all said not in service. And why is one man driving a 40-foot bus that's not in service? 5 of them. And then, finally, the one bus that's my route that I had to take drives by. She sees me, I suspect recognizes me, and gives me the middle finger, continues driving, doesn't pull over. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So I had to run to a gas station. I asked if I could use the phone. They said no. I just said, can you phone me a cab? They said no. I ran to a petrol can. I said, radio interview. Get me a cab. So the Indian couple that owned the place, they said, yeah, come in. You look tired. Have a cup of coffee on us and we'll call you a cab. And they did. I got the cab and I was late for the interview by only 3 minutes. So that was my crazy day on Wednesday. What was cool though, Barry, is that I asked, do you mind if I keep these 2 blankets and these shoes and the bag, like the police evidence bag? They said, yeah, go ahead. One officer asked me, what are you going to do? Sell this thing? I said, yeah, I'm going to auction it off. I got legal fees to pay, which I did. I auctioned that off and someone bought the whole package on Thursday. So thank you to the individual who bought all that crazy police stuff. And in there, you get both blankets, you get the mask, and you get the bag.
Yeah, and a copy of your book, apparently. I was watching the auction go online. And,
oh, yeah, you know what? Yes, a copy of both of my books, Masks of BS and
Lacrosse is Dead,
along with my new hats. I have Make Calgary Great Again hats. And
You put together a package, and I don't know what the last figure was, but I think I seen $200 there near the end, Kevin. So I'm glad to see that, man. That was pretty cool.
Well, you know, the supporters out there are absolutely wonderful. And my supporters and guys like you and Ed and Kelly, you all know how much the government's put me through in the last 4 years. We've had 12 arrests, 4 criminal charges, all of which are going to be beaten. We got there. Tickets galore, $74,000 worth of tickets, which I will be beating. And on top of that, now we've got what, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 5 lawsuits that were all filed by various radical groups, and they had radical left-wing judges that were presiding over them. So I lost all these lawsuits to the tune of $10.5 million. But here's the deal. If anyone's listening and you don't like Kevin J. Johnston, if you're thinking about suing me for anything, go ahead. But I'm telling you in advance, you're wasting your time, because I owe $10.5 million to other losers who've come before you. Good luck. You're not going to get a thing from me.
We got Kelly going to call in here in about 30 seconds here.
Kevin. That's wonderful. I can't so wait am to I, say hello
I,
to her.
I can't wait to say hello to her. She's, I think she, her number is being, yeah. Can you call her, please, Steve? Ed just gave me a message that she's going to be calling in, and I got Steve calling her right now.
Just cut off the phone. Okay, yeah, I'll call her.
Yeah, if you call her, I'd love to talk to her. She's going to have a few things to say. Yeah, I know what you've been through, Kevin, in the last 4 years, buddy. I don't know if I could take that myself, buddy. The persecution that you've experienced, I absolutely applaud your tenacity and your courage and your perseverance. That, well, there isn't too many people like that in Canada. We need more like you, Kevin. We really do. Because our country is in a pile of trouble right now. It's unbelievable what's going on in this country. And I just wish, like I said, we had about 10,000 of you in Canada. It's Kelly Ann, how are you doing, you jailmate? welcome back to the free world.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
I'm glad to see you out, Kelly. I have Kevin Johnson's in here with me right now.
Kelly, how are you?
As good as it gets when they arrest you for no reason.
Well, we want to hear about it, Kelly, so please tell us about it.
Yeah, well, when they came at me at Queen's Park, they said that I was being arrested for breaching my conditions. And I said, what condition did I breach? Because I haven't breached any. And the guy he didn't know, because the order came directly from Tory. I'm not supposed to know that, but I do know that. And so they were literally just told to arrest me, say they were arresting me on a breach, and then they were looking for it afterwards of what I breached. And when the officer brought me in to book me, she said they were arresting me on preventative measures of repentance. So I said, which one of
what?
You? Yes, preventative measures of repentance. So somebody thought they were psychic and had a vision that I was going to breach my conditions. So that's why they arrested me.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. It was the most unlawful arrest ever given by Toronto police. And it is going to be a very big problem for them, because I'm going to charge them.
Well, I would be wanting to do the same thing, Kelly. I'm kind of flabbergasted hearing that. What do you think of that, Kevin?
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm disgusted beyond reproach, but I'm not surprised. I mean, someone in Toronto City Hall there has a magical crystal ball and says Kellyanne Wolfe is going to, eat the wrong chili peppers next Saturday at 10:04 p.m. Like, they just know this in advance. Let's arrest her for it. It's crazy. And illegal, I might add.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
How
it's
are
not
you
legal. It was extremely unlawful. It was against not only my constitutional rights, but my rights as a sovereign. So, I mean, this is going to be taken up in international court as well.
Well, how did they treat you in jail, Kelly?
Oh, the guys inside were okay. I was freezing, and I'm on my menstrual cycle, and nobody really gave a shit about that for the first day, which was really gross, but it is what it is. The last couple of officers, the last sergeant that I dealt with was really great, and the guys that released me were really fantastic. So, but you got to understand something. There's a split within the department, you know, so you've got a lot of officers that are on our side. And then you've got a lot of officers that aren't, and that are like the kind of guys that would push the button on the gas chamber. So it's a very difficult situation for them as well in there, and the tensions are very, very high.
You can feel those tensions. You can feel those tensions in the police station.
Oh yes.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. They're really split.
I'll let you add to that, Kevin. Then I'm going to tell you about a little conversation I had with an RCMP officer here 2 days ago in Terrace. Go ahead, Clint.
Let's do that. All right. The police departments are split. Remember, the last two times I've been arrested, both were for what they call breach of conditions. But both times the officers just indicated that it's in their opinions that I breached. And both times I was released by the senior sergeant, who was older than me. So you want to talk about division. The left has really taken over people under the age of 33, it seems. Every police officer that I've come across, with the exception of the rookie guy that drove me to the station on Wednesday, they all seem to be very left and pro-Antifa, pro-Black Lives Matter, pro this whole LGBTQ radical religious movement out there. Like, they're not thinking logically. There's absolutely no logical reason in what they're doing. They actually honestly believe that they should be using their policing authority, if you can even call it that, to convert everybody to left-wing thinking like them. And that is that has divided the police force, because the guys who – believe me, when I say this, the guys who are over 40 in that department, we chat, we laugh. You know, they're respectful. They love hearing from me. It's wonderful. So, yeah. Society is fractured. Mm-hmm. And that millennial generation, they have decided to become as radical left as is possible. We've never seen anything so far left ever in our history before, ever. Not even in the days of the Nazis and Pol Pot and places like that have we seen such a shift that happened so quickly that is really so dangerous. Because if we have an entire generation of police officers that think this far left, then they will break every law ever written to put people in prison who disagree with their foolish, childish beliefs and end up bankrupting not only their police departments but also their municipalities with all the lawsuits that will ensue afterwards. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy with my lawyer, though. I mean, Cal Rose, he's amazing. When I heard him at the bail hearing, because it was all done on the phone, when I heard him on the phone at the bail hearing, I was really impressed. Not only is he sharp and young, and he actually cares about our movement, and he comprehends that this is all nonsense. This entire COVID thing is all nonsense. He's done the research and the work himself. So I'm very confident with him on my side. I can't, you know, and of course, props to Chris Skye, my brother. He's always got my back 100%. He's the person who took care of all that for me and made sure that Cal was on my side and went to work right away. So.
Ed wants to say something here, folks. Ed? Ed?
Microphone.
Well, we're not hearing you, Ed.
Don't tell me you're having the problem again, Ed.
Yeah, I think you lost your volume again. We had that problem earlier. Yeah.
Guys, well, I'd love to stay on the phone, though, but I wanted to jump on because I said I'd be here, but I do have to call my kids.
Hey, so okay.
Yeah,
totally understandable. I want to thank you for joining in for a few minutes, and maybe we can do this again next week or the week after. We'll have a good conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
After you've had a chance to recover.
Barry.
Well, you know, I can understand you've been in jail overnight. It's nice to recover, and probably the last thing you want to do is be on a radio right now. So I want to thank you for coming in for a few minutes. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you so much, and love you guys all, and stay strong and stay vigilant. So we're going to win this. Don't worry. I'm sure we'll hit the mainstream for this one.
I hope so. It's about time.
Yeah, it is. All right. Thank you guys so much, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, you got it, Kelly. You're the best, babe. See you soon.
All right, hon. Bye.
Bye-bye. Now, there's a woman I love, Kevin.
Oh, she is the best.
I want to give her a hug one day, man. I hope that I get back there one of these days and I can give her a hug. But the way the travel's going now in Canada, I don't know if we'll be able to get on an airplane here in the near future. Kevin, the way things are turning around on the airline industry and what the government's doing to us right now, I wouldn't be traveling right now. I know that. I'm not going to sit in a quarantine hotel. And I know they'd grab a guy like me and stick me in there just because they can. This is crazy what they're doing. Let's talk about these quarantines, these hotels, because you've been covering that extensively a lot in the last year, Kevin. What's going on?
Barry, let me tell you what happened here. I mean, I knew that they were going to pull some kind of crazy stunt like converting hotels into interim prisons. And I'll tell you why they chose to go that route is the government in Ontario especially, you know, and the country does follow everything that Ontario does for whatever the reason. In Ontario, the prisons here are garbage. I know because they stuck me in a maximum security prison for 6 weeks last year. There were mushrooms in the showers there. Like, no one cleans the floors. When we clean our cells, it's all with water and towels. It's just ridiculous. There's no soap, you know? So getting back to what I'm saying here is they know that if they take people who are not sick and put them into jails where they will get sick you know, they're opening themselves up to possible culpable homicide, manslaughter charges, lawsuits galore. So they figure that let's put people in prison anyway, but we'll just turn hotels into prison. And this, of course, lends a lot of credence to the theory I brought forward that the Ontario government's working very hard to make sure that malls and plazas shut down, because it'd be very easy to take a mall like Oakville Place in Ontario here.
Right.
That is almost completely devoid of business now, to turn that into a minimum security prison. What I mean by that is it's a very simple location. They can leave all the signs on it to make it seem like it's a mall, but fence off the parking lot. The place already has wiring. It already has AC. It's got hundreds of thousands of feet of sewer piping and water piping. There's not much you have to do aside from build concrete walls and cells within the entire superstructure that's already there. So instead of them putting the money into that, they've just made deals with hotels, which is cheaper, to force people into hotel rooms. And they put on the big show of wrapping the lobby in plastic and wrapping the floors in plastic and taping plastic to the carpet. It's so stupid. It's childish. Now, what happened here? Two things happened. First off, Chris Sky in Toronto started pointing out this was happening. So I began paying attention to it, and it turns out that he was right. There was a hotel right by the Toronto airport on the Mississauga side that was already doing this. So they could just have an Uber ride go strictly from the hotel to that – sorry, from the airport to that hotel, which signifies a drive of 2,500 feet, not even a mile. Then in Calgary, there's the Westin Hotel on the airport. The hotel sucks. It's a barren landscape. It's a wasteland all the way around this place. So you jump into an Uber from the front door of the airport, the Calgary airport, and they dump you off the front door of this hotel. And you go in and you're told that you're not allowed to go through the front door. You got to go through some side door. And it's not police. It's just security guards from a private company who are now kidnapping you. They're holding you against your will. And they force you into a room. And then in this room, they say, don't open the door and come out in the hallway. So you're stuck in a hotel room, which may as well be a jail cell. Now, it's a nicer jail cell than the one that they gave to me, but you're still stuck in a room by yourself with no capacity to open the windows in any way and no capacity to interact with any human beings. And even in jail, the longest lockdown I had in my cell was 4 days, and I was in there with this crazy guy named Rocco. He was funny. He really was a funny guy. And we had a chessboard, so we played a lot of chess together, and I had about 25 books that I could read. I had more to do in my cell than people have to do in their hotel rooms. And that's the sick part about it. And the only guy standing at the end of the corridor right now is a security guard from, I think it's Garda, the actual company Garda. So you've got this guy forcibly confining people who have not been arrested, they have not been convicted of a crime, and they have not been sentenced for the crime that they were convicted for. It's kidnapping. It's forcible confinement. Like what people should do is walk down to the end of the hallway and make a citizen's arrest. That's what they should do. Or just pack their bags and walk out the door. Chris Sky has got people that pack their bags in Toronto now, and they've just walked right out the door. The cops come to their homes, write them a $1,200 ticket, and walk away. So you're going to get a ticket whether you walk in the hallway or go home. So take the ticket and fight the ticket.
Wow.
Really?
This is going on in Canada, Kevin. Can you believe it, man?
I mean, I can. I mean, after I was arrested for having the wrong political opinion 3 years ago, I can believe anything.
Yeah. You went through hell for that, I know, but absolute craziness. How many weeks in maximum security? 6 weeks?
Yeah, 6 weeks.
In what jail was that?
That was Maplehurst.
Okay. That's just out of Toronto, correct?
It's west. It's a town called Milton. But
okay,
jail is a combination of two things. It's a maximum security prison and a maximum security holding facility. So it's the worst of both worlds is what it is.
I know they've got the same situation going on up in Whitehorse right now in a hotel, where the fourth floor of the hotel has been leased by the government, and all kinds of nefarious things going on there. My buddy, actually, I was talking to a guy up there 2 days ago, Kevin, who works for a flooring company up there, and he told me it was the chat of the town right now, what's going on at the top of the hotel. Crazy, man. that we're seeing this happen in our country. But we knew this was coming, Kevin. You knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. They're not going to stop. They're just going to go full balls right to the wall now, man. People are taking this crap, and they know it. It's just, what are we going to do to stop it, Kevin?
Well, I know
Mayor
what I'm going to do.
Mayor of Calgary.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm moving to Calgary permanently in 2 weeks, everybody, and I am going to win that mayor seat. I'm calling myself Calgary mayor-elect right now for a couple of reasons. Number one is I know I'm going to win, and number two, I know that it drives the left wing absolutely crazy. Now, if the left wing wants to call me delusional for calling myself Calgary mayor-elect, let them. That's free advertising for me. It angers them that they can't break guys like you and me. It angers them immensely. So let's just keep angering the left and pleasing the right and educating people that first off, we educate everybody. Whoever wants to learn will learn. I'm not telling anyone they have to listen to anything I'm saying or do anything I'm saying. But if they do listen to what I'm saying and then compare what I am saying to the CTV and to CBC, you'll see that my story is 100% opposite what the mainstream media is saying, but it also happens to be more accurate, a whole lot more accurate.
Well, if we could just take CBC over for 24 hours, Kevin, could we turn this thing around, eh?
Can you imagine? We certainly could. It would only take a day.
Yeah, one day of actual reporting to the Canadian people from five or six good reporters, boy, and this whole thing would go away and there would be riots in the street. But that is our biggest problem, of course, Kevin, is the mainstream media. You know, we talked about this in the beginning of the show today, that we should be focusing our attention on those guys. We should be having mass demonstrations outside the offices of CBC and Global every day. But unfortunately, Canada isn't there yet, Kevin. I see Europe is there. I see what's going on in Denmark and Italy and Germany and France and how the people are rising up. But in England, too, man, they're rising up in by the millions now. But we're not there in Canada, and that really concerns me. What's it going to take to get Canadians woken up? I don't know, Kevin. You got the answer to that?
It's going to take the police beginning to kill our children, and then Canadians will finally start to stand up. And I hate to say it that way, but Canadians are always the last ones to take things seriously or seriously enough. The big problem with us, and I've said this before, Barry, and I'll say it again, we are an isolationist nation. We share one border with one other country, and although we have our own culture here, we still are under such influence by America that we've decided to let America do everything for us. That includes the defense of our nation.
Yep.
Canadians have failed to understand that freedom is not free, and that if you're looking to have a better life, it's not someone else's responsibility to give it to you. You got to go get it. And now that Canadians have had their livelihoods taken, their stores taken, a lot of people, their homes and their cars taken from them, they're starting to, not really catching on yet, but starting to catch on to the fact that anything can be taken from you at any time unless you fight to keep it. And there's a reason why bylaw officers in Mississauga won't go to my home, won't go to my office, and won't come anywhere near me. They know. Yep. And I've established that with them, that if they do, I'll go to their homes at 2 o'clock in the morning with legal documentation. And now that I've got the biggest audience I've ever had, I'll be going live with many members of that audience. They don't want that. Each and every one of you out there has the same right to do exactly what I'm doing. I do everything within the confines of the law. If you stick within the law, but you make sure you use the law properly against these people who say that they are the law but are indeed just breaking it, you will win.
Mm.
All right? And I'm doing this now before my children get hurt. I've established myself now as the guy that will fight no matter what. And I want Canadians to understand that all of you must do the exact same thing. Don't just bluster. Don't say you're going to sue someone and then not do it. Say, I'm going to sue you, and then go do it. All right? Yep. Because that reputation will follow you. And you can use that reputation to continue to not frighten people, but to just get rid of those who are going to try to frighten you.
I know Ed wants to add something to the conversation here, Kevin.
Go.
Guys, Ed? I'm taking it back a bit, but I don't know if you're aware of these two stories where, number one, in I think it was Calgary, a preacher's wife was doing business in the States. She flew back from a business trip. They kidnapped her, took her to one of these detention centers, didn't tell the family where she was, and she actually got a hold of her husband by going live on Facebook Messenger and streaming what her location was just by pointing the camera out the window. And case number two, and this one is, I find, very alarming. There was a young couple in New Brunswick, which is Eastern Canada. They were delivering a package, an information package of evidence that they wanted the police to charge the Minister of Health in New Brunswick with, the Premier, the health authorities. And they called into the police station, told them what they wanted to bring, said they have mask exemption, medical exemptions. And they said, yeah, sure, come on in. The couple arrives, and right away they get accosted. They're charged for breaking the health order and thrown in jail for a week. How do you like them?
Wow. I've never heard of that one, Ed. That wow, that's shocking.
Amazing how some of this stuff doesn't make it to MSN, eh, Barry? Kevin?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not amazing at all. We know exactly what's happened here. Look, if you guys recall, I used to have a radio show with David the Menzoid Menzies from Rebel. He and I had a show together every Wednesday night for six straight months. And this is one of the things that Dave had actually theorized. I believe it was June of 2017. And that is what he said was that Justin – first off, he said all the newspapers and TV stations in Canada have gone from centrist reporting to far left reporting because at some point they're going to ask for a bailout – and they'll get it if they are pro-liberal, anti-conservative, and prepared to do what the Liberal Party says. Well, right. Sure enough, 4 months later, Trudeau says, oh, we're going to give the left-wing media a bailout of $680 million, which he did. So, you know, Menzoid called it on the show. Am I surprised? No. Trudeau wants to keep his power. He's still bound a little bit by the election laws that we have in place. But, you know, if he can control the media and control public opinion and control all of the lieutenant governors and all of the premiers, then right. What does he care? He'll win the next election again. And if he doesn't get a majority again, he'll have that idiot Jagmeet Singh and the NDP party to back him up. So he doesn't care. He's going to have a third term. You watch.
Boy, our country is going to be a mess if that happens, Kevin, and we know it's going to happen.
But,
I know they're rigging it. I know they're going to rig it, and his power is expanding exponentially right now. He's sitting right now figuring out exactly how he's going to steal this next election. We're bringing in the voting machines. We're bringing in mail-in ballots, blah, blah, blah. We know he's going to be a prime minister for a long time. And what's going to happen to this country in the next 5 or 6 years, Kevin? It scares the crap out of me, buddy. So we've got to put a stop to this. Somehow we have to come up with a mechanism to stop this. And what you're doing right now, and I'm going to add to what you're saying right now about being mayor of Calgary, folks, that if we want to stop what's going on in this country, Kevin, we've got to take it back at the local levels because the government's not going to listen to us. Paid politicians aren't going to listen to us. But if we control the municipalities of our towns and our cities, we can stop all globalist agendas dead in their tracks. We see examples of that happening. There's a town in Ontario right now where three out of the five members on the council are absolutely anti-global people. That anything globalist comes along through the mayor, they immediately vote it down. So the mayor's pulling his hair out because he can't get anything passed because the people in his council are blocking it. Well, that's how we could put a stop to all of this, Kevin. It's going to take people getting involved at the local level. And you running for mayor of Calgary, that guy that's in there right now, I don't even like to say his name, how he ever became mayor of Canada, or of Calgary and what he's doing to that great city right now, it almost makes me cry, my friend. But
know, Barry, that's first off, that's Naheed Nenshi, not Head Nenshi is what I call him. Yeah. Let's describe him for the general public here. What he is, he's someone that has bilked being Muslim. He has come out and told a whole bunch of lies about violence against Muslims in Canada, which is all a lie. There is no violence against Muslims in Canada. He came out and lied about the fact that his family had suffered greatly in Canada due to Islamophobia, which is not a thing in Canada. You know, Muslims are as free as they can be. This is the freest place in the world to be for them. By no means are any of them being mistreated at all. They should actually thank their lucky stars, and many of them do, I might add, because many Muslims actually contact me asking, how do we get guys like Naheed Nenshi to never ruin our reputations again? Like, that's how crazy is that? But getting back to it, he went out of his way to play that card. He went out of his way to behave like Rob Ford a bit, the former Toronto mayor who passed away, Rob Ford, making everyone believe that he was a nice, fun, loving guy. You know, look at me, I'll do go-karts with you. Look at me, I'll play chess with you. Like, that's the persona that he put on. And then we find out that he is an alcoholic, that he's gay and trying to hide that. So he's living a double life that's really driving him crazy. I don't care that he's gay, but he does. It's strange how that works out. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, he is an extremely weak individual. He's very narcissistic, but a very weak personality type. So when you insult him, he just absolutely lashes out. And there is a video where he tried to attack the brother of Pastor Archer Pawlowski in Calgary, and his own staff had to hold him back. I mean, not like he would have done anything physically, but – that is how easy it is to anger this guy. And Bonnie Crombie, the mayor of Mississauga, is exactly the same way. Very quick to anger, no leadership skills, and does nothing but play the race card and the blame game. He got in there playing the race card for his third term. He said, if you don't vote for me, that proves that you're racist and Islamophobic. And white people in Calgary said, oh, well, don't call us that. We know you're a criminal. We know you're going to kill the city. We know that you you're part of Trudeau's agenda to destroy the West, but we'll vote for you just so you don't call us that name. But here's the deal. That word, racist, is losing all power right now. All power. No one cares about it anymore. It's just been thrown at everybody, regardless of who they are. I mean, Jay Faiza, if you remember him, he was the awesome black guy that worked for Ezra Levant at the Rebel News. He was asking questions of crazy Antifa kids, and they called him a white supremacist. Black guy was called a white supremacist. So they just throw that term out no matter what. Well, Michael Arana from the Arana Nation has been called a white supremacist, for God's sakes. I mean, the man's black.
They have nothing else, Kevin.
They have nothing else. And Calgarians have caught on to the fact that Nenshi has nothing to offer at all.
Wow. Well, I told you, Kevin, I'm going to say it right now again. You run for mayor up there and I'll come and do 2 or 3 weeks boots on the ground going around for you, because I can't think of anything more important right now than getting people like you in power in one of the biggest cities in Canada. The changes would be astronomical, and the rest of Canada would be standing up and paying attention. The waves that you would create, buddy, I would love to see that. So I'll come and do some boots on the ground for you for a couple, 3 weeks, Kevin, no problem.
You're a wonderful man that way, and I'll tell you this.
You just have to put me up in your house, that's all. That's the deal.
We got lots of space.
I need a couch somewhere.
Yeah, I rented a really cool place, fully furnished. We're good to go. And I signed a 3-year lease on the place. I'm pretty serious about sticking around, so let me tell you that. But Barry, what I want to say here is, if I'm in office in Calgary, geographically speaking, Calgary has no major cities near it, and everybody in the West pays attention to it based on the fact that there's Calgary. You got to go 2 hours west to the BC border. You got to go 3 hours north to Edmonton, 3 hours east to Medicine Hat, and so on. So there's just nothing around. And what I mean by that, or what I'm trying to say with that, sorry, is that everything from Dryden, Ontario, which really is almost Manitoba, everybody from Dryden, Ontario, all the way to Victoria, BC, is going to be paying attention to every single thing that I say. I'll be able to influence not quite half the entire country's population with policies that I would bring in and with truths that I would tell. Because everybody else in Regina, Saskatoon, Uranium City, Thompson, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Red Deer, Medicine Hat, Kamloops, and so on, they're all going to want the same thing Calgary is going to have. And that would be me going out of my way to shut down globalist agenda crap and ignoring everything that jihadi Justin Trudeau has to say. He'll come out and say, we're going to freeze this. We're going to say, well, no, you're not, because the provinces are almost completely independent from the Fed. And Calgary, with its own police force that's bigger than all the other police forces combined, including the RCMP, we're going to defend this city. And if we need to make Calgary a city state to get done what needs to be done, then so be it. What are you going to do, bring in the army? Come on.
Well, you definitely bring the Calgary police back in line. Kevin, because some of the things they've been doing in the last 3-4 months have been pretty atrocious, to say the least. So
I'm not pleased at all with what's been
neither
happening.
Am I. Well, we're aware of what's been going on with the Calgary police, and we don't want any of that in Canada, but it's full scale right now in Calgary, and that's got to come to a stop, and I'm sure it would immediately as soon as you took power of office.
Absolutely.
Also, you're going to have the council of people to back you up, Kevin. And that's something that, you know, a mayor only has one vote, correct? So hopefully council in Calgary will get behind what you're doing, and we'll get some council members in that think the same way you do.
Well, I know there are four running so far.
Okay. I'm just wondering, is that going to be a problem for you if you still have the existing council and you're, say, to them, a radical mayor coming in and going to make radical changes? Will they be able to block changes that you try and make in that town?
Well, they'll be able to block changes that I'm making, but I'll tell you this. The second that they block something, they'd better have a damn good reason for doing so. Because if I suspect for an instant that one of them is taking a bribe from someone, I'm going to open an investigation up on that counselor immediately. Right. And what I would also do, if the counselors are going to get in my way of helping to get the city back on track, if the counselors are going to stop me from sending people back to work, then what I'll be doing is showing all of the citizens of Calgary that these are the people here who are on someone's paid list. These are the people getting in your way. Let's bankrupt these city councilors. You can join the mayor in class action lawsuits against these councilors. Let's get them out of office. Let's take their homes. Let's put liens on their cars and their properties. I am fully prepared to go to war with council if I have to. What I'm saying here, though, is the council, I would much rather be diplomatic. I would much rather have adult conversations, and I would much rather people sit down at the round table and say, here's my plan. Here's why I wish to do this. Here's how little it's going to cost. Let's get this done. And if they want to fight me saying, well, no, we're not going to let you and your radical ideas succeed, well, then regrettably at that point, they're going to have to deal with me in a warlike situation, because I will bring war to them. You know me. I thrive in conflict and I thrive in chaos. And if they want chaos, I'm going to give it to them. I would, like I said, I'm going to put this out one more time. I would rather city council and me work together, because that is going to be the cheapest and fastest way to get the city back on track.
Mm. It's in bad shape now, Kevin. I mean, downtown Calgary is a ghost town, man. It used to be one of the greatest cities in the country. But of course, you know, that had a lot to do with what Justin Trudeau is doing to Alberta and the fuel industry, the oil industry. He's decimating it. And maybe this will be a step forward. It has to be a step forward in the right direction, because what is going on right now with the West, I can understand the sentiments for separation and why people in Western Canada are at wit's end. Look what's going on now. They just canceled Keystone XL. Because of Joe Biden in the United States of America. And, you know, Trudeau isn't saying a whole hell of a lot about that, is he, Kevin? He's just kind of
Trudeau is ecstatic that Trump did not get in. That's what it is. Trump, look, I'm telling you this right now. Trump was fed up with the Liberal Party in every way. He was fed up with Canadian politicians in every way. If Trump had got in, he would have worked very hard to make sure that Trudeau got out of office. And Trudeau knew this. Trudeau knew that Trump was going to gun for him. So with that in mind, the second that the media began to lie and say that Joe Biden was president-elect, first thing Trudeau does, he's on a plane, boom, shaking hands with Joe Biden. You know, because Trudeau, he was nervous as hell. He knew that Trump was going to come at him. He knew it. So here we are. The Biden government really has shown us that Xi Jinping, the president of China, is the president of the United States now. And we know also that Biden is so mentally unfit for the position that the 25th Amendment, will be brought in by Kamala Harris. And we're going to get this crazy psychotic woman in charge of 4,000 nuclear weapons. Like, we just do not want that, period. And I want to also remind everybody here.
Sorry for laughing.
Yeah, for sure. But look, folks, come on. Think about this. The United States has just had its best president ever. No one's ever going to be better than Trump ever in the next 100 years. Before him came the worst president ever. And do you know why you guys voted for him? Is because of the color of his skin. And you voted for somebody based solely on the color of their skin and not on the merit of anything that they had done. In fact, Obama had done nothing before you guys put him into office. So you get the worst president going. Now you've got the absolute worst president. That's Joe Biden. The only one that could possibly be worse than this guy is Kamala Harris. And she got the position based on what's between her legs and the color of her skin. So you're about to learn the same lesson a second time in 4 years, that when you elect somebody based on the merits of physical appearance, you are going to get the worst of the worst of the worst.
Mm. Period. Boy, they're in big, big trouble down there, Kevin, right now. But I honestly believe, my friend, that we have not heard the end of Donald Trump. I honestly believe we haven't heard the end of this election yet, that there's lots of things and lots of things being said about what's going on behind the scenes, what the military's involvement is right now. I am talking to a lot of people that are in the know that I have a lot of respect for, Kevin, and I don't think this is a done deal, my friend. I really don't think this is a done deal.
Well, I think he's opening up his own political party. He's already got an office opened up.
Well, there might be also – the possibility of military involvement at this point, especially if the Insurrection Act was signed. We're talking about sedition and we're talking about treason. We're talking about displacing a duly elected U.S. president, stealing, absolutely outright stealing the election. There's no denying the fact that this was the biggest theft ever in election history of the United States of America. The proof of foreign involvement is off the scales right now, and that's all being exposed. All I'm saying, Kevin, is I don't think you've seen the end of this yet. I think that the possibility of the military getting involved in the United States of America right now, I believe that's a real possibility. So just a thought, and I'm getting this from a lot of people that I have a great deal of respect for. So let's just sit back and watch what happens. For Trump just to throw in the towel like that, with the amount of evidence that was being presented about election fraud in the short period of time between the Electoral College and his inauguration, Kevin, was right off the scales. I mean, it's just absolutely mind-boggling. Video evidence, blatant video evidence of mass fraud being perpetrated, and yet they allowed the inauguration to go forward. Is there a trap being set here? Is he giving them enough rope to hang themselves? Got a lot of questions about it, my friend. So I just took a few of my thoughts.
I mean, how many questions do I really want to ask at this point, aside from will we see him again? And I think that we will. And if he's going to run in the next election, I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a whole bunch of motions filed all over the country to make sure that there's going to be manual counting of ballots and that every party will have a representative watching the ballots go into the box. And that's something I'll be doing for Calgary, by the way, is filing motions galore to state clearly that we do not want to have Dominion machines going, because they ran those machines in Mississauga and that election was stolen from me. I can tell you flat out that is exactly what happened.
Yep. And well, look everywhere they're using them. They were used in the last federal election in Canada. And look what happened there. I mean, they've worked. They're going to use them again, Kevin. Got to put a stop to that. Why can't we just go back to old pen and mark a spot, two people count it, it's put aside, there, done deal. No questions, no problems, no cyber security, nothing. No manipulations of computers. I mean, what went on in this election? Like Trump or not, this wasn't about Trump. This was about the left against the right. This is about a communist coup going on in the United States of America and the stopping of a communist coup. We're in trouble. And if it doesn't get stopped, if Biden and Kamala Harris, if Kamala Harris is allowed to take the presidency, Kevin, who's going to be her vice president? Nancy Pelosi? Well, what kind of a situation? Yeah. So what are you going to have in the United States of America? You're going to have the worst two people possible running the country with their hands on the football. That scares the heck out of me, buddy.
it terrifies me to think that it would be even possible. To have that. Now, think about how fast we would be at war with Russia or China if those two idiots got into power.
Right away. Because they're warmongers. You know
instantaneously.
That. Instantaneously. Hey, listen, we're down to the last 4 minutes here, Kevin. I want you to share a few thoughts and where people can reach you and where they can hear your shows. And then I'll shut the show up for the week.
All right, everybody. My name's Kevin J. Johnston with the T. You can always catch me at my own personal website by name, kevinjjohnston.ca. I run a podcast every day, Monday to Friday, from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Toronto time. Typically, it's on my Facebook page, but right now, Facebook's got me suspended from doing live, so you'll catch me on twitch.tv/KevinJ Johnston. Now, all my social media links are on my personal website. Also, I've got two books out right now. One is called Lacrosse is Dead that talks at length about corruption in youth sports, including the fact that we have children being molested and even the police won't do anything about it. And the other book is called Masks or BS, except the full word. That book there, I wrote it to be as damning as possible against our government and against the World Health Organization by citing nothing but facts, real factual information about the World Health Organization and about this supposed pandemic. Also, just so you do know, I wrote both books as if they were going to be 1980s style comedy routines. So they are informational, educational, and funny as hell. That is an absolute promise. You can find my books, including my new comic book series, Biden's America, which does not shed a good light on where America is going under his tutelage. All that's available at kevinjjohnston.ca, and you can email me directly from the website if you have any questions. Barry, I want to say thank you so much, and Ed, thanks again for setting everything up. Great talking to you guys.
Hey, Kevin, always a pleasure to have you. And Ed, you wanted to add a few things before we shut out the show?
No, I'm good. Great show. Thanks for having me on, Barry.
Okay, well, thanks again, Ed, for filling in on Kelly on short notice today. After 3 hours of talking, I'm starting to lose my voice here, so I'm kind of glad this is coming to an end. Thanks again for joining me today, gentlemen. Thanks to all my guests that came in today, and thanks to the listeners who took time to hear what my friends had to say.
And Barry, I'm going to see you in person in Edmonton in a couple of weeks.
On the 20th, I am going to be in Edmonton. Kevin, so I'm looking forward, to shaking your hand, my friend.
With chaga, I hope, Barry.
Huh?
With chunks of chaga, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, guys, it's been a slice. I've really enjoyed the conversation. Like I said, folks, thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Got some cool people coming in next week already. I look forward to being back at that time. Thanks again for joining me. Thanks to Steve for producing my show. I almost forgot to say that today. He puts up with me every week, and I'd be lost without him. Okay, guys, bye for now. God bless you all, and see you next week.